Do you know what? You've made me feel a lot happier about this decision. Thank you for that. Graham Courtney, TalkSport reporter in the Northeast. But he's going to lose out on that bet he had. But thank you very much. Yeah, Sam Allardyce apparently going to be announced as the new England manager later today. I had high hopes that that job was going to go to my colleague Hardeep Singh Kohli, who joins us now. But you gutted not to get it?
I couldn't manage the English. Well, I probably could do a better job as a Roy Hodgson. But I mean, I think Sam's got his work cut out. The next three England matches for the qualification for the next World Cup are against Lidl, Aldi and Poundland, because they got beat by Iceland. It's all very topical. Do you get bitten by mosquitoes?
Oh, I get bitten to death. However, yes. I have discovered a new repellent.
The chicken?
No, I read about this, the chicken. Explain to
apparently
sensible people who don't know this story.
Raw chicken hung over your bed, next to the garlic, obviously, for fear of vampires.
No, or a live chicken by your bed, apparently.
That sounds like a spitting image song. The corpse of a chicken hung over your bed somehow sends the mosquitoes away.
It will ward them off. Yeah, the mosquitoes don't eat chicken.
Until they learn to barbecue. We're also barbecuing a steak because our news reading colleague, Victoria Bourne, has never had a rare cooked steak.
No, so how rare? French rare?
Scottish rare.
Not like still mooing.
Yeah, not still mooing. No, a sense of the cow about it. And we're also going to have some beer. You're missing out, mate. We're going to have beer in the studio.
This is a much better show beer than the rubbish ale. I've been talking for the last 3 hours.
And also, you'll like this. You know, whenever a man is appointed to high office, they immediately the press completely have a go at whatever his wife or partner are wearing. We're doing the same with Philip May. We've got Terry Betts of the Threads Personal Shopping in to have a look to see. Double-breasted jacket with a black tie?
I don't think so, Philip. There have been a few quite wry articles talking about his sexy outfit when they walked up to 10 Downing Street the very first time.
He chose very well.
Indeed. This is Talk Radio. He's Hardeep Singh Kohli. I'm Julia Hartley-Brown. I'll be back with you at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Do stay tuned.
Talk Radio, 24-hour radio debate and entertainment.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Winston Wolf, you got a problem?
Yeah, I want to rent out my flat, but
you don't want your tenants to take you for a ride. I got just the guys for the job.
This is legal, right?
Of course, I'm talking about Direct Line. With landlord insurance, you get the legal documents you need, checked by pros.
Oh, great.
So if things get messy, you've got the legal muscle to make wise guy tenants disappear.
Without getting my hands dirty.
Ah, you're a fast kid.
Direct Line Landlord Insurance, including legal document service. Can your insurance do that? Search Direct Line Landlord. New and renewing customers. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
Remember, every time you lie, you'll receive a mild electric shock. So, if you had £159, what could you spend it on?
Well, a Sitch and Blingo Enterprise van is only £159 a month.
Sir, I remind you, no lies.
It is, with aircon, DAB digital radio and Bluetooth until the end of July.
Are you okay?
Yeah. No.
Citroën.
TNCs apply. Advanced rental required. Finance lease business users only on vehicles registered by 31st of July 2016. Subject to status, guarantees may be required. Over 18s only. PSA Finance UK trading as Citroën Contract Motoring excludes VAT at 20%.
Harry is a tradesman. He's happy that Screwfix has over 470 stores in the UK. Not because he wants to visit them all, but because it means that wherever he finds himself working, there's always one nearby. And if Harry can't get to Screwfix, Screwfix is happy to come to Harry. With next day delivery to his home or on site, 7 days a week, if he orders before 7 p.m. weekdays, 4 p.m. at weekends. Either way, Harry is happy. Those in the know Screwfix.
See you later, love. Enjoy the game.
Will do.
Right, my time. Sport time. What's it going to be then? Riders, drivers, strikers, fast markets. Excellent. Are they going to score? 6-1. Dig fast. Bet fast.
Feel the excitement with 10bet. Kick off with a first deposit bonus of up to £200. Play at 10bet.co.uk. That's 10bet.co.uk. 5 all overs a deposit and bonus required. Minimum deposit £15. Please gamble responsibly.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip. Talk Radio.
Hello, Hardeep Singh Kohli here. It's Talk Radio. We've got the original beef eater herself. That will be explained with the news headlines. Victoria Bourne.
Thanks, Hardeep. Coming up, no Rio for some of Russia's athletes. Pistorius' jail time is to be appealed. And find out what is the most common crime.
Talk Radio.
There'll be no track and field athletes competing under the Russian flag at next month's Rio Olympics. The Court of Arbitration for Sport has upheld a ban put in place in the wake of the doping scandal. Philip Barker, an Olympic historian and sports author, has told Talk Radio it could lead the way for further punishment.
Now that the CAS, the Court of Arbitration for Sport, has upheld this decision on the athletes, this could open the way for an entire blanket ban because of that WADA report we saw the other day that says that it wasn't just athletics.
Prosecutors in South Africa say they're going to appeal the six-year jail term given to Oscar Pistorius for murdering his girlfriend. They think the athlete's sentence for killing Reeva Steenkamp in 2013 is too lenient. Jeremy Corbyn has promised to tackle inequality and injustice as he launched his fight to hold on to the Labour leadership. More than 180,000 people joined the party in the space of 2 days this week so they can vote in the contest between Mr Corbyn and former Shadow Minister Owen Smith. Labour MP Jim Fitzpatrick has criticised the increased membership fee, though.
Not many working class people, the kind that Jeremy are saying that he wants to represent, which I really don't think he's doing a very effective job for them. £25's a lot of money to pay for one vote for a Labour Party leadership election. Owen may very well not win, but I'm sure he'll put up the best opportunity.
The French president's warned Brexit negotiations cannot be allowed to drag on. Francois Hollande's comments come before he meets for the first time with the new Prime Minister, Theresa May, later. She's already said the process for the UK to start leaving the EU won't be started this year. A car filled with gas canisters has been driven into an underground police station car park in Sydney. A man's been arrested after what's been described by local media as an attempted terror attack, but it hasn't been confirmed yet. Adam Masters is a journalist in the city.
Speculation is rife. Obviously, there are fears regarding national security. It remains a pertinent issue across many countries around the world. However, at this stage, it's simply too early to speculate on the motive. Police have not released any information on the matter.
Fraud is now the most common type of crime in England and Wales. Official figures show almost 6 million fraud and cyber offences are committed every year. And a group of comedians and authors will read the whole Iraq inquiry report in a shed at the Edinburgh Fringe. It's expected to take them 2 weeks to get through the 2.6 million words in a 24-hour relay next month. People can book tickets to see part of the Chilcot report being read out, but there are only 4 seats.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Fine for most places, with the best of the sunshine across eastern areas. Elsewhere, cloud will increase from the west with showers spreading. Highs of 25 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
Good afternoon, I'm Ian Abrahams. FA Chairman Greg Dyke has confirmed the three-man panel set up to find a new England manager will recommend Sam Allardyce. The FA's board is meeting at Wembley, where Allardyce's name will be put forward as the best candidate. Dyke's not been involved in the process as he's leaving his role.
Clearly the three-man group are convinced he's the right man, and I go along with that, yes.
Meanwhile, it's expected David Moyes will be the next manager at the Stadium of Light. Former Sunderland fullback Mickey Gray told TalkSport he's happy with that.
He's very similar in the way he approaches the football, the way that Sam does. He looks at everything with a fine-tooth comb, and I think, you know, given some money in the transfer window after the great work that Sam's done, I just hope that he continues that.
Transfer news looks like one in and one out at Liverpool. The Merseysiders have had a £25 million bid accepted by Newcastle for Giorgio Wijnaldum, while Stoke are expected to sign Joe Allen after having had a £13 million bid accepted for the Welsh international. While Hearts, Hibs and Aberdeen are all in action tonight in the Europa League. That's your sport, powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio.
This week at Lidl, get inspired with a taste of Asia. They've got an Indian meal for two with a chicken tikka masala, chicken jalfrezi, pilau rice and two naan breads for just £3.49. Glad they didn't forget the naan breads. And for dessert, coconut ice cream for just £1.79. They're even served in their own shell. Come and discover the whole range available from the 21st of July at Lidl. Subject to availability, NI may vary. Selected stores.
Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Hardeep Singh Kohli
on Talk Radio.
I am the god of hellfire and I bring you fire.
I'll take you to burn. I will not burn your steak, Victoria Bourne.
Thank you.
Now, I should explain to those that weren't listening on the week. Victoria, you love beef, don't you? You're a beef kind of gal. And you admitted, I can't believe you admitted, live on air on Talk Radio, that you've never had a rare steak.
It's a fact. I'm not going to lie.
I wouldn't want you to lie, because you are the news. You are the truth. So today, we've set up a little instant barbecue, which takes 20 minutes. How can that be instant? And I am, in the second hour, going to cook you a rare steak. You're going to come to the what we call the smoking area. It's literally going to be smoking. There'll be fire everywhere. Arthur Brown and the rest. And you are going to try a rare steak for the first time in your life. It's all about the resting. The resting. No trouble. It's all about the resting. Are you ready for this?
I think so.
Have you had your lunch?
I've had a bit of bread.
And half a bowl of Haribo's. Tanktastic, yeah. As I recall.
Yes. Healthy.
Thank you very much. I'm sure we'll be back in a wee bit with the news at 8:30. So that's what we're doing. We do this for you. Because we're Talk Radio. We're radio that likes to talk and barbecue and eat. So much coming up. Are you well, Producer Cass? Producer Cass, is she there? She's just in another world of her own. I'm talking. Nope, she's... See, this is it. Just, if my own producer ignores me, how can I expect the listeners to listen? Cass, I was just asking if you were okay, Producer Cass. Two thumbs up. Chloe, are you well? Speak to me. Let them hear who you are. You are the epitome of summer, can I just say. We have shucks. I hope that's what you said. I don't have the power to cut you. So what we've got coming up in this show, so we've got the barbecuing of a rare steak. And what's nicer, Chloe, with a steak, a well-cooked barbecue steak, than a fine ale or a beer? A fine beer or an ale? Do you have a preferred beer or ale? No, nothing. A gin and tonic kind of person just strikes me as. So we'll have that to compare and combine. A couple guys, James from Dark Star Brewery, they brew some great beer, and Heath, also known as the Pub Hobbit, because he owns pubs and he's the size of a hobbit with oversized feet, and also he's a Kiwi. They're everywhere, these migrants. They're going to bring some beer in. Then we're going to be talking about... first up, we're going to be talking about Philip May. Now, do you know when a man gets high office? So, for example, David Cameron became Prime Minister. The papers were all over what Samantha was wearing. Or what Samantha wasn't wearing, actually, because apparently she wasn't wearing the right brands. So we thought it might be quite nice to have a fashion expert in to decode what Philip May is wearing. All I can say is I've seen a picture of him wearing a black tie event, a double-breasted black jacket with a bow tie. I don't know how firmly I can say no on air. And I didn't even try to take him to rehab. Fashion rehab, that would be. And then we've got Ostentatious, because it's Edinburgh Festival coming up soon. I myself will be there. 5:20 every day, A-Stone. Mixtape, My Life Through Music. We had Bilal Zafar on earlier on. Marianne Holt, Felicity Ward. And today we've got Ostentatious. This is brilliant. Improvised comedy in the style of Jane Austen. So Rachel Paris, who is one of the funniest people around, with another colleague from Ostentatious. Jousting! Have you ever thought about jousting, Chloe? Sports-wise, what sports did you grow up playing?
Tennis.
Right.
Rounders.
Tennis, rounders.
Wasn't very good.
Okay.
But I played them.
Okay. Never thought about a wee joust?
I mean, I am now.
And what are you thinking about it now?
I'm thinking, I don't know, I'm curious.
Okay, well, we will keep you curious. Because apparently they're going to try and make it an Olympic sport. There was a bloke on one of the news channels earlier on dressed in full jousting gear. What I'm fascinated about is how the fashion brands, for example, Adidas doing a jousting outfit. Where do you put the three stripes? On the armour? On the chainmail? I like a good equine sport. And we might be talking about energy drinks. I think it's a very funny story about getting drunk one night on vodka and Red Bull. I had 32 vodka Red Bulls. Talk about jaws dropping. It was over the course of at least 5 or 6 hours. And I was so drunk and so wide awake. It was unbelievable. And there wasn't enough kebab in Nottingham to feed me. But apparently they're talking about licensing energy drinks now. I think this is fascinating. My tour manager, when I used to be doing the cooking show, used to get me, on my instruction, she was great, a can of Red Bull, just to keep me alive before going on stage. Because when you're a performer, everything's about that 2 hours on stage. It doesn't matter. Anything else can happen in the world. For that 2 hours, you need to be the best you can be. And she stopped getting it for me. Then she started getting me beetroot shots and things with kale in them. And I'm like, whoa, Annie, what's going on? Wagwan, gangster, I said, because I am black. And from South London. And she said, these energy drinks are full of taurine. And I said, that's a lot of bull. And she goes, you're quite right. And it will make you develop breasts. Did you know that, Chloe? So I'm now significantly more flat-chested than I was mid-cooking tour. But it did make me wonder about what they put into these energy drinks. For example, the best use of Coca-Cola and other such drinks isn't to put it in your body. It's to clean the spokes of your wheels, your toilet with it. It's to stop, put a tooth in a can of Coke, in a glass of Coke. A glass of Coke, put a tooth in it, leave it for an hour. The wait till your other half comes in, drunk, they'll drink it and swallow the tooth. That's nothing to do with science, it's just quite funny. Do you like seagulls, Chloe?
No.
Why don't you like seagulls?
They always steal my chips.
Okay. Well, my big brother was the same. So that's why we called him the seagull. Do you know seagulls are now eating ants? Did you know that? They're eating ants and they're going mental and attacking people. It gives them a high. It gives them a high without having to find a crack pipe. So we are just say no to drugs. Just say no thank you to drugs. Be polite even to drug dealers, that's what I say. So we're going to be trying to find someone to talk about that. And talking of the animal, chicken, fowl-based medical theme, hanging a chicken over your bed, a raw chicken, will keep malaria at bay. So it's not an apple a day, it's a raw chicken a day will keep malaria away. So much coming up. And more, and songs. Ah, that's it. How could I have forgotten? The songs today, songs about barbecues. So we had Fire There by Arthur Brown. And we'll have more coming up. It's Bruce Springsteen. What? Oh, it's Billy Joel. Sorry, Billy Joel. Thank you for correcting me. We Didn't Start the Fire. Which is so often the case in an English summer. How can you start a barbecue and in the rain? You can't do it.
You can't.
No, you can't.
No.
But Billy Joel can. I've often wondered if there was a way of collecting rainwater to power a barbecue. If I could invent that, I've just given that idea outcast to everyone. They've all got that now. Someone's going to make money doing this. Let's have a listen to Billy Joel for a minute. We didn't start the fire. Chloe's clutching the earth. Chloe, what you've done is you've made a fundamental, not even a page one mistake, my colleague. What you've done is you've made a mistake that's collated in the preface to the book of dancing. This... No, listen, Chloe, this isn't a power ballad, is it? Take it off, finish, you've ruined it. Chloe, you've ruined Billy Joel. We're probably going to get lawyer's letters. You can't clutch the air, Chloe, to Billy Joel.
Yes, you can. It's
no, you can't. Mate, how old are you, Chloe?
I'm 29.
Okay. I am considerably older than you. I do dad dancing. I'm a dad. I'm an expert on bad dancing, as my daughter once said to me. Yes, Daddy, you've got all the moves. Now let's get them in the right order. You can't clutch the air to that. It's not a power ballad. Shall I give you an example of a song you can clutch the air to? Alone by Heart. Do you know that song?
No.
Till now, clutch the air. I always got by on my own. I never really cared that you loved me to clutch the air. The other song you can clutch the air to?
Go on, I know, I love an air clutcher.
Okay, well, clutch it properly. Okay. Imagine that air.
But I don't have the track. To really
well, I'm going to sing it to you. That's okay. Why I'm here.
Right,
yeah, you
right.
Ready for another one?
Yeah.
Turn around every now and then. Yeah, we can do that. Cass, will you join in? Because she's a bit shy. Cass isn't going to clutch the air.
She's shaking her head.
Well,
I'm not joining in singing that.
I didn't ask you to join in singing. I just encourage the younger members of the team.
Last night at karaoke.
What? Total Eclipse of the Heart?
Yeah.
Are you joking? That is the song I finish my show with. It's my karaoke song, Chloe.
It's a great song.
We're living in a powder keg and giving off sparks.
That's right.
I really need you tonight. The thing I find quite sinister about that, Chloe, I don't mind sharing this with you, my colleague. What is a fully grown woman in man-made fibres, swooshy man-made fibres, doing wandering around a school, candle-lit, health and safety, with young men fencing, doing gymnastics and playing table tennis?
I think maybe the director was like, throw it all in, let's have everything.
That director, do you know what that director went on to do? I mean, he went on to do a Kitty Cat advert. That's actually true. So you have one more air-clutching moment? Do you want another air-clutching moment?
Sure, hit me.
Okay. What song should it be, though? Do you like it? What's your other karaoke song?
It's Tina Turner.
Private Dancer.
What's Love Got to Do with It? Yeah.
What? That's a little bit too up-tempo. You've picked another one that's on the borderline of air clutchiness. I'm going to think of some more. Do get in touch with us. 0844 499 1000. Call costs 7 pence plus an access charge. Text talk and a song that you think inspires good barbecuing. Or indeed air clutching. Have you got an air clutching favourite? We can do both today. Cornelius is in the house. He'll find more songs for us. Tweet us at Talk Radio. Right back after these words.
Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Talk Radio, give it some lift.
And gently pull away. Very good, Miss Riley. Now, continue at this speed. And when I tap my clipboard on the dashboard, I want you to brake immediately in a controlled manner. Oh, excellent. Lovely bit of braking.
The new Goodyear Eagle F1 Asymmetric 3 will help you stop shorter on both dry and wet roads. Visit goodyear.co.uk to find your local dealer. Goodyear, made to feel good.
Now, Miss Riley, let's see a three-point turn.
Harry is a tradesman. He's happy that Screwfix has over 470 stores in the UK. Not because he wants to visit them all, but because it means that wherever he finds himself working, there's always one nearby. And if Harry can't get to Screwfix, Screwfix is happy to come to Harry. With next day delivery to his home or on site, 7 days a week, if he orders before 7pm weekdays, 4pm at weekends. Either way, Harry is happy. Those in the know Screwfix.
Remember, every time you lie, you'll receive a mild electric shock. So, if you had £159, what could you spend it on?
Well, a Sitch and Blingo Enterprise van is only £159 a month.
Sir, I remind you, no lies.
It is, with aircon, DAB digital radio and Bluetooth until the end of July.
Are you okay?
Yeah. No.
Citroën.
TNC supply, advance rental required. Finance, lease, business users only on vehicles registered by 31st of July 2016. Subject to status, guarantees may be required. Over 18s only. PSA Finance UK trading as Citroën Contract Motoring excludes VAT at 20%.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Traffic on the M6 in Cheshire is queuing southbound. A broken down lorry in the roadworks between junction 19 at Knutsford and 18 at Middlewich and Holmeschapel. Still congestion on the northbound side of the M5 through Worcestershire. This is between junction 8, the M50, and junction 7 at Worcester, where there's still one lane closed after an accident this morning. Broken down van on the A1 in Cambridgeshire. It's northbound near to the Allwalton exit, the A605. And the roadworks in Kent on the A21 between Tunbridge Wells and Tunbridge causing queues. I'm Dave Stanford.
The Brothers Gould, tonight from 7 on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. A seamless transition between tea time and twilight with the legendary Brothers Gould. Destined to become the nation's favourite radio family. Tall Tales and Telephone Trouble with the Brothers Gould, featuring Johnny Gould and Ash.
Get caught in two-way family crossfire with me, Johnny Gould, and him, Ash.
You all right, Bubba?
On Talk Radio.
It's a brother load of back check, bravado and banging entertainment.
Tonight from 7
on Talk Radio, keeping it in the family. With the Brothers Gould. Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate, and discourse.
Hardeep Singh Kohli
on Talk Radio.
Yeah. Kind of laid back vibe, Chloe, yeah?
I dig it.
Okay, don't dig too much. Some barbecue's gonna get unstable. G-Love and Special Sauce. Just listen, it's beautiful.
Me and my band, we all must agree. We like to get groovy with the sounds of the old time.
I'm just opening my second, third litre of beer at this point, Chloe.
We like the jam. Close man, sound from the best and hand from the cross man, hang from the old ones, the tones, the gears, the props and the rhyme. Very much simple, chill it outside. Way back, way back. From where music really started, I'm a child of the 80s, so where I departed.
This is G Love and the Special Sauce, 1995. A wonderful, wonderful album. Brooklyn Boys, nice laid back vibe. I can smell the slightly charred beef fat. I can taste the lovely sweet corn salad. Oh, what's that, Chloe? Is that a little bit of avocado on your chin? Do you want this bit of bread just to wipe it off with? And how about a little aioli? Yeah, twice as nice with rice. All rhymes. So we had a lovely tweet in from K Bear, the Bear Barbecue. Songs to inspire good barbecue. I'm Rubbing My Ribs by the Bear Barbecue. It's a classic, and apparently our Ian Lee has the only copy. K Bear, that just might be the biggest bit of self-promotion ever, but we're going to let you have that. Now, we are preparing to talk about what Philip May wears. Mr. Theresa May. See, now it's only when you say it like that do you realise how invidious this notion of naming women in relation to their men is. It's 2016, we're still doing it. How about we get rid of that? Mrs. Philip May. That's what she's probably called on utilities bills. Even the Prime Minister's probably called that. What we are looking at is gaffes. I don't know if you've seen this. But is it the Nick Clegg was going to shoot a video to make it go viral to relaunch his career in politics. I would probably give Nick Clegg the following advice. You never really had a career in politics, mate. You propped up a government that ruined the country and made the top 100 families 112% richer. That's what you did. So if you're proud of that, I'm surprised they make Clegg a lord. Did they make him a lord? Did they? Is he a lord? Clegg got nothing. So we thought we'd look at other political gaffes. Like, my eyes are still smarting from the image of Philip May wearing a black double-breasted tuxedo at a black tie event. If loving that is wrong, I really want him to be right. Remember Ed Miliband saying, am I tough enough? Hell yes, I'm tough enough. Ed, mate, you're from Primrose Hill, Northwest London. Don't hell yes anything. My other favourite one is Neil Kinnock. Neil Kinnock, Lord Kinnock, socialist Lord Kinnock, let's just be clear about this, socialist former leader of the Labour Party from the Welsh Mines, is now in the House of Lords, the single most pernicious, unaccountable chamber of 850 people, there solely on dint of birth, religion, or political appointment. Okay, these people that look through our legislation, check out our second chamber, 850 people, with nothing to be accountable for. You can't vote them in, you can't vote them out. Lord Kinnock, in Sheffield in 1983, when odds on, it was looking like the Labour Party were going to win and end the first 4 years of Thatcherism, was in, the Crucible or somewhere in Sheffield, and he did an American-style rally saying, hey! I'm feeling all right. I'm feeling all right. Didn't sound very Martin Luther King. Something about a ginger Welshman. Just not saying that. So we've had that. We've had Donald Trump. Did you see Donald Trump mocking a disabled journalist? I mean, Donald Trump. What are we going to do with you? John McDonald, the shadow Chancellor of the Exchequer, reading from Mao's Little Red Book in Parliament. It was either that or his diary. But we think it was the Little Red Book. The Ed Stone. Oh, Ed Miliband, you gaff-tastic. He had a massive, two massive stones with pledges written on them. And, of course, his name's Ed. They're stone. Ed Stone. Something you put on a dead thing. Which is what Miliband was. Harriet Harman's Labour pink bus. Do you know about this pink bus? You don't know about this pink bus, Chloe Meister, do you? It was a minibus targeting women voters and non-voters. It's previously described as magenta or fuchsia. Is in fact pink. But see, this is really interesting. Anytime anyone wants to do anything positively to engage 51% of the population, more than half the population, it's somehow frowned upon. Somehow, do you know, when I was a boy, when I was your age, Chloe, 18 years ago, you couldn't have adverts on television for sanitary products. 18 years ago. You're still not allowed to show the colour red in those adverts. 51% of the population. Every time you think a piece of feminism is nonsense, turn it on its head. Someone once asked one of the Supreme Court justices in America. She was one of 10 Supreme Court justices, the only woman. And a journalist said to her, "How many women would you like to see before you'd be satisfied with gender, the gender balance?" She goes, I'd like to see 9 women justices. The journalist said, "I don't think you understood my question. How many women would you like to see before you're happy with the balance?" She goes, No, I answered your question fine. 9. And the journalist says, "Well, that's not very fair, is it?" He goes, "Well, we've got 9 men. You've not asked me anything about that. You've asked me about how many women." It's interesting. Remember Gordon Brown calling a Labour supporter a bigot? Do you remember that? And then it happened again, didn't it, recently, with someone else? John Prescott being egged. I quite liked Prescott. It's the only time in Prescott's political career I quite liked him. When a man egged him, and Prescott just became the man that he is from Hull. Cass's ears normally light up when you mention Hull. She's in another world today. She's not with me today. You're not with me today, Cass, are you?
She heard Hull. She's here.
The aircon is broken, and yeah. I'm melting. So that's why I'm not really paying attention.
No, that's fair enough, mate. But can I just say, it's not helpful that you've got a production meeting in the back of the studio. You've got a man with a lot of body hair and a very crisp white shirt. He looks to me like a radiator of love. I would get him out because he makes me feel like sweating, and I'm in an air-conditioned studio. What's his name? Who is he?
His name's Laurie, and he's the editor.
Nobody knows.
No one really knows. But
Laurie, the editor.
He works here in some form. Yeah.
What do you do, Laurie, mate?
How you doing?
What do you do? What's your job?
All sorts.
All sorts. Right, you make licorice. Okay. Look, you know what, mate, don't give me a judgmental laugh. Either enjoy the joke, yeah? I'm riffing with you, Laurie. You look so warm, though, Laurie. On a cold one today, I'd want to snuggle up next to you, have some of that beer just against my chest. Something like that. Anyway, enough of my skullduggery. Energy drinks. We're going to be talking about energy drinks shortly. Do you like an energy drink, Chloe?
Do I what?
Like an energy drink?
No, I hate them.
Why?
Because they make me anxious.
What, are you anxious about the notion of drinking them, or anxious once you've drunk them?
No, they got like, what, 100 grams of sugar in them or something? I don't know.
No.
I'm making it up, but they got lots of bad chemicals.
You just made up 100 grams of sugar. Did you just do that? Just pull that number out the air? It's too round a number, Chloe. That's the problem. If you're going to pull a number like that out, you need to make it 97. You've got 97, and everyone will believe you. Am I right, Victoria Bourne?
I'm not sure.
No, she's not sure. No one's sure today. Everyone seems to be in a vague dwam of uncertainty.
Our brains are melting in here.
I realise they are. I'm in a warm room. I'm in a cold room, and my brain's melting too. Do you know what time it is, Chloe? It's time for the news headlines of sport with Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
Russia will have no track and field athletes competing at the Rio Olympics next month because of doping. The Court of Arbitration for Sports upheld the suspension imposed by the IAAF after widespread allegations of state-sponsored cheating. Jamaican sprint superstar Usain Bolt hopes the scandal will deter future drug cheats.
Listen, if you cheat or if you go against the rules, then we're going to take serious action. This will scare a lot of people. Send a strong message to let you know that the sport is serious. We want to clean the sports up.
Police say they're unable to discount terrorism as a motive for the attempted abduction of a serviceman in Norfolk. It happened at RAF Marham yesterday afternoon. Officers say they're looking for 2 suspects. A major police operation is underway in Sydney after a man drove a vehicle filled with gas canisters into a police station car park. It's been described by local media as a suspected terror attack, but that hasn't been confirmed. Jeremy Corbyn has launched his campaign for the Labour leadership contest. He's appealing to his MPs to unite against inequality and the Conservative Party, saying it's their job, duty and responsibility to do so. And production of a film based on Pokemon will start in 2017. The Pokemon mobile games quickly become a global phenomenon with a reported 5.9 million users a day. The weather, a fine day for most, with the best of the sunshine across eastern areas. Elsewhere, cloud will increase from the west with showers spreading. Highs of 25 degrees is more in half an hour.
Introducing Mr. Jake Yap's Comedic Sunday Breakfast Emporium. Sunday mornings from 8 on Talk Radio. Featuring Mr. Jake Yap's famous clown stilts 10 feet high. In each town at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning will be remembered for many a long day as a pageant of ghostly magnificent, consisting as it does of artistes unsurpassed in the comedic profession. Mr. Jake Yap's entertaining Sunday Breakfast! Sunday mornings from 8 on Talk Radio.
Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Hardeep Singh Kohli
on Talk Radio.
Oh, do you know what my favourite sound is, Chloe?
The opening of a beer.
This is my favourite sound. Burn it up.
Girl, make it hot like the roof is on fire.
R. Kelly in the house.
Girl, the way you dance, you are my one desire.
Come on.
So hot, you're on fire.
Oh, you got bigger.
So hot, you're on fire.
You are joking.
So hot, you're on fire.
So hot,
you're on fire.
You are, sorry, it's unbelievable. Have you ever seen a bottle opener this size? Hulkass, have you ever... This is a weapon. In the words of Ice-T, my lethal weapon's my mind. But in this sense, this is amazing. We're going to have a photograph of that and put it on the... This is astonishing. There's bottles, there's friends. I'm very lucky in my job. I'm very lucky in my job because I get to do this job. I get to work with producer Cass. I get to annoy Chloe. And I get to rip the something out of somebody very important that appears in the back of the studio, unbeknownst to me. But I've got friends that work in beer because I love beer. See, love doesn't begin to cover it. Beer is my life. Go on, do it, Chewy, do it. Hear that? Oh. Now, I'm joined by... We know him as Chewy. He's also known as the Pub Hobbit. He is a very good friend of a very good friend of mine and now a very good friend of mine. He actually owns my local boozer, the Wenlock Arms, in North London. Probably the best boozer in London. Sorry. I know you own other ones, but the Wenlock special. And you and I spent Edinburgh Festival together last year. Whoa, that's... We're not allowed to talk about that, are we? That was his hands shaking just at the thought of last year's festival. And you have some great beers in your pubs. And just to be clear, the thing I love about the Wenlock is that there's, 30 taps?
10 handfuls. 20 keg, yeah. So 30.
Understand about the Pub Hobbit is where he speaks, people listen. Technology doesn't really work for him. So you have 10 hand pulls.
And 20 keg.
Right.
So 30, yeah.
And amazing beers. Yeah. Amazing beers. And we've got James, Big James from Darkstar.
I like
what you do with the Darkstar, isn't it, dude? And you brew your own stuff in. Chiwi's just torn in, by the way. No introduction. They're just knocking the beer back already.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right. And tell me about Darkstar.
We started in the cellar of a pub. That's what good things do in 94. And subsequently just grown and grown and grown. And kind of before this craft beer thing happened.
Well, this is the thing. A lot of people are really negative about the craft beer thing. And they don't really quite understand that it isn't a new thing. Craft beer is an old thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an old thing that's just come round, you know? Like,
and a lot of this, what I find most fascinating about this whole sector of craft beer is it's beer with flavour. It actually tastes of something. Be that hops, whether it's a saison, you've got some sour fruit flavours going on. There's a lovely one on at the Wenlock just now, the banana flavoured saison, which I tried the other day. Very, very drunk. So tell me, what's this we're drinking now?
It's the APA. Dark Stars APA. Sorry, APA. 4.7, so it's not crazy. Out of a can, which is kind of, you know...
That's kind of weird, isn't it?
New for the craft beer movement.
You both speak into the mic.
Sure.
I realise you want to give yourself enough room to get your beer down you.
Yes, that's the APA, American Pale Ale. So,
as opposed to an Indian Pale Ale.
Exactly. Well, kind of, if you look at the American thing, they took beer from us and now we're taking it back. They've developed beer and the hop varieties they've got that make some incredible things. And now in the UK, we're wrestling it back again.
Revelation.
That is a revelation.
Yeah, 5.7.
very hoppy.
Yeah, lovely.
But it's low. It's a kind of low, broad. It's a baseline of a hop.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. It's yeah?
Isn't a falsetto. Yeah.
It was a beer we came up with a few years ago, about 2 a.m. with our then head brewer, and yeah, we blended beers, American beers actually, to get that flavour profile, and then got stuck into it and made it ourselves.
See, what I'm finding really interesting, you and I did this inadvertently in Edinburgh. When I owned a restaurant in Edinburgh, we paired the beers with the food.
Yeah.
Because in the craft beer and the kind of the artisan beer brewing market, there's a lot more control of in one way. There's a lot more control because it's you.
Mm.
The other way is you don't. No two batches turn out the same. Often it's quite difficult to get that QC, but quality control. But the one lovely thing about craft beer is it picks up some of the notes and the components with food, which is why I was thinking it was a good thing to talk about barbecues and beers. Because for me, you can't have a bit of barbecued meat in one hand without having chewy. I mean, not chewy in the other. without having a beer in the other. What beers have you got that work well with barbecue meat?
I think kind of the high, when you get the big hop character, I think the big hop character really works. So Hophead would be a great example. Hopheads are is our biggest seller. It's low ABV, so it's 3.8%, so you can kind of drink it.
It's sessionable.
I can drink it all day, but you can be drunk all day. It's sessionable beer.
Now, explain that, Tom. That's one of my favourite words in the language. I think I sent an email to you the other day saying, any time for sessioning, and you knew exactly what I meant.
Yeah.
What's a session IPA?
It's just a big in character, so like you get an IPA, so you know you're drinking it. It's going to give you a bit of a smack in the mouth, but that the ABV, the alcohol volume, is low enough that you can stick on it for a while rather than stick on it for a short while and then fall off it.
Do you know we've made a mistake here?
We've gone
in the wrong order.
Our enthusiasm just got the better of it.
Revelation should have been somewhat down the line.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I love that I know this stuff. Hophead is it's quite citrusy, isn't it?
Yeah, very much, yeah, absolutely.
So that for me would be lovely with a bit of salmon on the barbecue.
Mm. Yeah, nice one.
Or sardines with orange and parsley, which is a lovely wee dish. I do. That's 3.8, that's very, very good. Now, tell me about what are you noticing? Because you've got 3 or 4 pubs in London, haven't you?
2 in London, and then with these guys, we've got 3 out in the country, out in Sussex.
And have you noticed how people's buying patterns and taste patterns have changed?
Oh, very much so. They're more experimental. They're drinking bigger beers, higher ABVs, a lot of hoppier, not as much beer.
Yes.
The consumption's gone down, but, you know, in terms of people don't go around and drink 15 pints of cooking lager.
I mean, it's like Bloody Hell, the Beaver Town.
Yeah, amazing beer.
Oh, I love that.
you just take it off at the windlock. Think about that. Is it 7.2?
Yeah.
You can have a couple of pints. But you don't want to drink any more than that. I know that banana saison I was talking about. You can have a half of that just midway to break up a session. Just you know, Gary, when you have that the pickled ginger on a Japanese meal, people weren't always clear about why you got a bit of pickled ginger on your plate. It's to cleanse your palate, to separate the flavours. And I think that saison's a very good way of just resetting the default in your palate.
Drinks are quite promiscuous now as well. There's so much to choose from. There's never been a better time to drink. So you go into a bar, like, you know, a pub like Heath at the Wenlock, and you've got 30 great beers to go for before you even look at what's bottled and what's canned. And you think, well, okay, why stick on one? And back in the day, you kind of offered with brown stuff.
The only problem, brown stuff, nothing wrong with a bit of brown stuff, James. I made a career out of it. The only downside at the Wenlock is they see me coming in and start pulling the pint I had the last time I was in. So I'm forced to have 2 pints. The one I had from the session before and the next one. The other thing I'm really interested in is because James, you and I, the reason I thought to call you today to come on is because you and I have been talking about brewing a couple of beers again in terms of the Indian food market. And this is why I don't think we've ever been told as many lies as we're being told in the current age politically and the rest of it. The truth is of no interest to anyone. And you take a brand like Cobra, for example, who spent millions degassing their beer. Here's a thought for you. If the beer's too gassy, don't drink it. Mm. Why don't you spend that $8 million to develop beers that go really well with Indian food? Because there's no precedent. Do you know what I mean? Like, so, for example, we sat down, we had a tricolore, we had a mozzarella, tomato and basil salad. Last, you could remember, you were off your face, right?
Yeah.
We had a lovely, you want to go Italian wine? You want to go nice, light Italian white or maybe a little bit of a rosé type action, you know? So you just balance it all up. You guys are going to stay here. We're going to drink more beer. I'm going to drink a great deal more beer over the ads.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Life is full of deadlines.
the deadline for that job application, the deadline for your tax return. And now, the Financial Conduct Authority is thinking about imposing a deadline for claiming missold PPI. So time could be running out for you to claim. Let PPI Claimback do most of the work for you. We can check whether you've had PPI. If you haven't, it won't cost you a penny. Text PPI to 80039. That's PPI to 80039.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade goes.
At Selco Builders Warehouse, we've got some real deals on a wide range of trade quality building products. In July, we've got a real deal on a 25 kilogram bag of rugby cement for only £2.99 ex-VAT. Now that's a real deal. We've got even more real deals and thousands of products in stock at selcobw.com.
We've got it at Selco. Selco, it's where the trade goes.
44,000 UK men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer in the next 12 months. Prostate Cancer UK has one ambition: to help stop men dying from prostate cancer. With your help, we can make prostate cancer a disease the next generation of men needn't fear. Search Men United and join the fight now.
See you later, love. Enjoy the game.
Will do.
Right, my time. Sport time. What's it going to be then? Riders, drivers, strikers, fast markets. Excellent. Are they going to score? 6-1. Dig fast. Bet fast.
Feel the excitement with 10bet. Kick off with a first deposit bonus of up to £200. Play at 10bet.co.uk. That's 10bet.co.uk.
$5 as a deposit and bonus required. Minimum deposit £15. Please gamble responsibly.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
Traffic on the M6 in Cheshire is queuing southbound, a broken down lorry in the roadworks between junction 19 at Knutsford and 18 at Middlewich and Hornchapel. Still congestion on the northbound side of the M5 through Worcestershire. This is between junction 8, the M50, and junction 7 at Worcester, where there's still one lane closed after an accident this morning. Broken down van on the A1 in Cambridgeshire. It's northbound near to the Allwalton exit, the A605. And the roadworks in Kent on the A21 between Tunbridge Wells and Tunbridge causing queues. I'm Dave Stanford.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late night, Ian Lee. Tonight from 10 on Talk Radio.
Differently interesting nocturnal emissions from a legend of late night radio.
My name's Ian Lee. I'm on at 10 o'clock at night. We're going to have singers. We're going to have dancers. We're going to have naked pets. Just listen and see what happens.
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over.
Late night, Ian Lee.
On air and off the leash.
Tonight from 10 on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking. Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Hardeep Singh Kohli
on Talk Radio.
David Byrne, burning down the house if you don't light your barbecue properly. You see, gents, it's hilarious.
Burning down the house.
Let me raise a glass of Sunburst. So, this, you reckon, is the best beer to have with the barbecue?
Best, I think we do. Yeah.
This is the other thing, right? I find really beautiful isn't too strong a term for it. I'm quite emotional about how generous this world of craft beer is. Everyone supports everyone else. You know, like, you could just talk about Darkstar because that's your business, and your marketing PR person would say, just talk about our beers. Yet you're talking about Beavertown, you're talking about this, you talk about that. Everyone bigs everyone else up.
Kind of think it's different for us and all the other craft brewers out there. We're all doing our thing, and the market's big enough that we can all enjoy doing our thing. And I think if you could sit there and try and get, you know, 5% of Beavertown's business, or you could get 0.1% of some ubiquitous lager's business, and we can all have a heyday. And that's really what I think we're about, trying to educate, give people different flavours. And I think everyone in our business is doing beers that they love and hope that people share it. And they kind of divide people. It's okay to love or hate a beer, but just being in the middle of, that's a problem area, and that's where the big lager boys
are. Well, I think for me, it's about survival of the hoppest. So I'm going to try this, love. Thank you. See what I did there, Chloe? Do you see how clever that was?
Nice.
Yeah? Yeah? You'll appreciate me one day. You'll hit 30 and you realise, actually, he was not as rubbish as I thought he was.
I said it was good.
Yeah, in a patronising way. So we've got, this is a sunburst. Was it about 4.8? 4.8, yeah. From the heart of Sussex. Excellent thirst quencher. Grapefruit from Kentish hops. I love grapefruit. I tell you what, I love Highwire.
Yeah.
Oh, Highwire. Who makes Highwire again?
Magic Rock.
Magic Rock. They are magic and they rock. Oh, producer Cass, I think I found a beer you're going to love. Do you like beer, Cass? Yes? This is amazing. This is highly sessionable. Have you noticed I've gone really close, Mike? Because I think there's a few things sexier than a really nice 4.8. This is no ordinary IPA. It's an IPA? What's an ale?
Just, you know, yeah.
Do you know what's lovely about that is? That's going to be lovely with... I went to a wee place in Shoreditch last night. You know the Berliner China shop? They do the most amazing... Chinese guys opened a kind of a fusion place. Amazing soy chicken in the rotisserie. This with that? What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
What, you think because I said Chinese?
No. That's my ex-business partner.
Is it?
Yeah. So we no longer speak, but yeah, that's my...
Simon?
Simon's brother, Stephen, yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Simon is... It's all so confusing. It's really nice. I think at a barbecue, you want to have... The difficulty for me with matching alcohol and barbecue is the range of flavours. Because apparently vegetarianism is becoming more popular and popular these days, and they bring their carers along with them to the, you know, to the barbecues. And so we've got kind of a scorched, you know, that Mexican scorched, when they scorch the corn on the cob?
Yep.
And they slice it off and you mix it all up. That, quite a punchy flavour, quite bitter and sweet at the same time. How do you find something to balance that, yet go with the fish, yet go with the bangers, yet go, you know what I mean? And I think something like Sunburst would be great for that. What are your top tips? Should we brew some beers together, James?
Why not? We should maybe one for Indian food, like you say.
Yeah, should we call it brown stuff? Should we do that? Oh.
I'm in trouble again.
You're always in trouble. Have you got any more beer to try?
We do. Terrible. What do you want to try, the espresso first?
Yeah. Could not end the meal with the espresso, no?
You could do, end it with a coffee, but I'm going
to... Critical mass is 7.4%.
Barrel-aged.
Yeah, that's...
Okay, this is interesting.
This could be a good show.
Where do you want to go? Wow. Barrel-aged and whiskey cask.
Yeah.
Wow. You want to go straight on?
So let me just describe the barrel-aged to me, because this is the other thing about the whole kind of craft brewing thing. It's real innovation. Mm.
Yeah, so we just lay that down in barrels for sort of 6 to 12 months and kind of see what you get, you know?
I love you, James. I love you, Kaz. Quite like you.
Quite strong.
Yeah. So this is... Oh, talking about kissing her teeth. Chloe kissed her teeth at me through the glass. I heard it. This is interesting.
Yeah.
Woody.
So oak whiskey casks.
Oak whiskey casks. Was that not a mistake? Do you not like it, Chewy?
It's all right. I'm a big stout drinker, but I think I'd be hammered on that.
You're not big, mate.
Thanks.
Gosh.
It's not for... I mean, I think...
It's again, not for everyone,
not
is
for
it?
Not for everyone. But so in front of the fire, last drink of the night, rather than middle of your show.
Oh, no. I tell you what, that would be absolutely genius, and I don't use the word lightly. Chloe... Do you like a sticky toffee pudding?
I do.
Right. This, will you come through? Can you give that to Chloe, please? Yeah, Chloe, I want you to try this and imagine you've just put into your mouth a tablespoonful of sticky toffee pudding with a little bit extra sauce, yeah? And okay. Then just imagine you've done that and then take a sip of that, mate.
Yeah, that's pretty pudding-y.
Yeah? Do you like it?
Yeah, I couldn't drink a whole pint.
No, I wouldn't be buying you a whole pint, mate. I'm Scottish and Punjabi. You'd be lucky if you got a thimbleful. And finally,
espresso.
This is, I mean, where did my life start going so terribly wrong?
Here I am,
surrounded by beer. So, oh my God, you can smell that long before you put your nose in it. So what is this we're drinking now?
Here we go, rich coffee beer.
Rich coffee. Now, espresso. You like a milk stout, don't you, Shu?
Oh, man. Bristol Beer Factory milk stout all day long.
Ooh, have you had the Fallon Brewery up in Scotland do the choo-choo? No, try the choo-choo?
I've not tried, no, no.
Salted caramel milk stout. Boom!
Sweet or?
Boom! Sweet and salty. It's a little bit like... No, I can't say that on air. Do you know what I think? That is what, like a 4.2 or something? 4.3?
Spot on, 4.2.
I think that needs to be like a 4.44 if I just to carry it through.
Like a double espresso.
Well, I always have this... I only ever have this issue with stouts. I always think the alcohol content in stouts, because they're so kind of... Do you know what I mean? Kind of, they're rich. Often, there's nothing worse than a thin stout.
Yeah.
You know?
I've had one recently, but
really?
Yeah.
What was... No, can't do that joke either.
No.
This is... You have to understand how difficult this is for me, because me and the Chi Meister Chi, Chiwi, Kiwi, Heath, we have badinage. This... Yeah. So how do you make this? How do you make the espresso?
It's just... You just brew the beer as you normally would, and you just add later on, you add your coffee into it. I mean, it's not rocket science. We work with Red Roaster down in Brighton, and they grind the coffee for us that we want, and... Leave it to the brewers to the rest. I mean, I have to say, it divides people. It's a beer that people love or they hate.
Yeah, but you know, I think there's too much in this world that is beige.
Mm.
You know, and here's the amazing thing. Can I say, when you say it's not rocket science, quantum physics, that is rocket science. This is slightly your fault. In fact, this is quite a lot of it. This is your fault.
What's that?
I've drunk in the last 2 years of my life. So from 45 to 47, I've drunk more beer than I have in the 45 years that preceded it. That's partly your fault. The other thing as well is this. I've never spent so much of my life walking into bars, walking round bars, leaning over bars and leaving. I'm simply not. I can have 4 or 5 pints of a night if I'm going to go and have a drink. Ordinarily, I'll have a pint or two. But I want those 4 or 5 to be the best 4 or 5. You know, it's like I think beer is my friend. I want to spend my evening with my best friends, which is why I got you in the studio, you pair of reprobates. Tips about cooking with beer?
Actually, I can't leave that to the chef.
Yeah,
know?
And I don't think chef should be doing it. I don't think you should cook with beer.
No,
nah.
But don't you do that? Don't you have that thing in Australia? Where are you from?
New Zealand. Same.
Australia without guns, well, isn't it? I've never met a Kiwi I don't like. So, Chiwi, the thing they do there is you stuff a
beer can chicken.
Yeah. Not good?
Yeah.
Do you barbecue a lot out in New Zealand? You have great summers, don't you?
Yeah, a lot.
What sort of things are you barbecuing?
Everything. Mainly steak.
Yeah, we've got a steak going on. So, yeah. Victoria Bourne, our newsreader, has never had a rare steak.
Really?
She loves beef.
She constantly pregnant, or...?
No, I think, and I said to Victoria, I think it's because she's not had her beef properly rested. Because I think for me, the resting time is as crucial, if not more crucial, than the cooking time. So just after the news at 2, we're going to go out and cook some meat. Gentlemen, it's been an absolute joy. Any more for me to try?
I think that's it, isn't it?
That's it.
Can I go back now? No, just show me the other bottles we've got there. I want to pick my winner for today. Right, so we've got critical mass.
It's the APA in the cans.
I like the APA is good. Can I just say, I feel the design of your bottle is better than the design of your can.
Okay.
It doesn't care. Should we do a... Right, let's... On air.
Yeah.
I've got another minute or so before we go to the travel news. I want to do a mango IPA with you.
Okay.
Yeah?
Sounds like a winner, yeah.
And a ginger beer. A ginger beer. See what I've done there?
I couldn't see the wink.
Heath.
No, I didn't get it.
Ginger beer.
Doesn't convert.
Just for redheads.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what we're going to do. Listen, gentlemen, thank you very much. You have to leave the beer here, though. You can't leave it. I also really appreciate you kind of broke into your plans to be here. Thank you very much for that. James from Darkstar and Heath, the pub hobbit himself. Have you seen Scott recently?
I was at dinner with Scott last night.
Where were you going to eat dinner?
I went to that new Basque restaurant down on Number 1 Eldridge.
Any good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Take me sometime. It never takes me eating. I love you, Heath.
Come up to the pub in Highgate.
I will come up to the pub in Highgate.
Do.
Thank you very much. We're going to just take a photograph of the size of this bottle opener. I am also just happy to see you. Isn't that funny? Even though I'm on the radio, I'm silent and concentrating on my photograph taken. Heath and James, thank you very much. I'll speak to you both soon.
Bye-bye.
Boom.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Dial up and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Remember, every time you lie, you'll receive a mild electric shock. So, if you had £159, what could you spend it on?
Well, a Sitch and Bilingo Enterprise van is only £159 a month.
Sir, I remind you, no lies.
It is, with aircon, DAB digital radio and Bluetooth until the end of July.
Are you okay?
Yeah. No.
Citroën.
TNCs apply. Advance rental required. Finance lease business users only on vehicles registered by 31st of July 2016. Subject to status, guarantees may be required. Over 18s only. PSA Finance UK trading as Citroën Contract Motoring excludes VAT at 20%.
Harry is a tradesman. He's happy that Screwfix has over 470 stores in the UK. Not because he wants to visit them all, but because it means that wherever he finds himself working, there's always one nearby. And if Harry can't get to Screwfix, Screwfix is happy to come to Harry. With next day delivery to his home or on site, 7 days a week, if he orders before 7pm weekdays, 4pm at weekends. Either way, Harry is happy. Those in the know, no Screwfix.
Okay, so just before your next morning commute, I'd like you to try something. Leave that smartphone in your pocket and grab a Metro. Because deep down, you know that you can do better than updating your apps. Rearranging your contacts. Or lining up three red sweets so they go pop.
Sweet.
You've got all day at work for that. The commute is for Metro. Free every weekday morning.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
We are Talk.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
Hey, I'm Deepson Coley. I'm giving it some lip. Ah, lovely. I've had some beer now. Luckily, I'm not going to be driving later on. We've got so much coming up in the show. We're going to be live barbecuing a steak. Producer Cass, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are, little cutie. We're also going to be talking about lovely Amy Hodgson-Cook and Rachel Paris, ostentatious, two lovely, very talented individuals who do improvisation in the Jane Austen stylings. We're also talking about jousting. I'm now picturing you on a horse, Chloe, in full body armour.
I mean, the armour is like a strong point to draw you to the sport.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty cool outfit.
You think? Says a woman that's wearing like a kind of just a summer dress covered in flowers. I can't see you somehow. You see, you're so lucky. Women are so lucky in the summer.
Men can wear shorts.
British men?
If they want.
Where are you from?
Hertfordshire.
Of course you are. Men wear shorts well in Hertfordshire. Men, Englishmen, Scotchmen are even worse. Scotchmen just wear tracksuits. I'm also talking about chicken and malaria, raw chicken and malaria, malaria and raw chicken. And we might want more songs, more barbecue-based songs. That's what we want to hear about. Do you have a favourite song involving fire, burning or sausages? Do you? I don't know if you do. I do. And we're going to be playing them all the way through the next 2 hours. I'm Hardeep Singh Kohli. This is Talk Radio. It's time for the news and sport with Victoria Bourne.
Thanks, Hardeep. Coming up, no Rio for some of Russia's athletes. Online dating murderer is jail for life. And Corbyn launches his leadership campaign.
Talk Radio.
Russia has lost an appeal against a ban on its track and field athletes competing at next month's Rio Olympics. The decision could pave the way for a ban on all Russian athletes after another damning report this week uncovered state-sponsored doping. Olympic rower Sir Matthew Pinsent told our sister station TalkSport it can't be allowed to happen.
If I was in charge of rowing now, I'd want to have known within 2 nanoseconds of that report coming out. Who are those Russian names that have been cheating that the Russians have managed to cover up? And if those are in boats for Rio, I would be voting, right, take them out.
Police say they can't rule out terrorism after a serviceman was threatened with a knife at an RAF base in Norfolk. Talk Radio's Robin Schoenhofer has the details.
Two men approached the serviceman who's in his 20s when he was out jogging at RAF Marham yesterday afternoon. The first one shouted at him and tried to grab him, but the victim, who wasn't in uniform at the time, fought him off before running away. The second suspect, we're told, was armed with a knife. Both fled in a dark-coloured people carrier. Officers say they are treating it as an attempted abduction.
A man who murdered a single mother he met on an online dating site has been jailed for life. 35-year-old Miles Donnelly will serve at least 23 years
in prison for strangling 44-year-old Usha Patel after she put her 5-year-old autistic son to bed in October. South African prosecutors say they're going to appeal for a longer sentence for a Paralympian, Oscar Pistorius. He was jailed for 6 years earlier this month for murdering his girlfriend, Reeva Steenkamp. Both France and Ireland are insisting the UK should start the process of leaving the European Union as soon as possible. But the Prime Minister says that's not going to happen until next year at the earliest. Theresa May will meet France's President Hollande later. Jeremy Corbyn has pledged to tackle inequality and injustice as he launched his fight to hold on to the Labour leadership. More than 180,000 people have recently joined Labour so they can cast their vote in the contest. Mr Corbyn also set out policies including deal with discrimination in the workplace by threatening big fines for employers.
I'm making the commitment today that the next Labour government will require all employers to publish equality pay audits, detailing pay, grade and hours of every job alongside data on recognised equality characteristics.
And thousands of sci-fi fans have gathered at the world-famous Comic-Con in San Diego. The convention's celebrating 50 years of Star Trek, with the franchise hosting its premiere for Star Trek Beyond during the two-day event. Simon Pegg and Idris Elba are among the stars who'll be there.
Talk Radio National Weather.
Fine day for most places with the best of the sunshine across eastern areas. Elsewhere, cloud will increase from the west with showers spreading across western areas. Highs of 25 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. Jose Mourinho has given a glowing endorsement to England manager-elect Sam Allardyce. The Sunderland boss is due to be named as Roy Hodgson's successor, with the appointment expected to be confirmed soon. Mourinho and Allardyce haven't always seen eye to eye, but the Manchester United manager says England have the right man.
I think he's more than ready. I think he's a good motivator. I think he can create a good team spirit with his players. And I wish him the best, not just as a friend, but my side as a Man United manager. So good luck, big son.
It's thought Allardyce will be offered an initial 2-year deal. As for his replacement at the Stadium of Light, it's expected that David Moyes will step into the breach. Finally, cricket. Jake Ball and Stephen Finn have been left out of England's squad for tomorrow's second test against Pakistan. They'll be replaced by the returning James Anderson and Ben Stokes for the game at Old Trafford. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio. Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Hardeep Singh Kohli
on Talk Radio.
Love is a burning thing.
I'm a burning thing here.
And it makes a fiery ring.
There is a ring and it's on fire. I'm joined by young Cornelius here. Say hello, Cornelius.
Hello.
Now, I want you to hear this. I'm placing this steak. It's a rump steak. It's going on a... Can you hear that? Oh, yeah. Victoria Bourne will be salivating at the thought, hopefully, of a rare steak. Now, the trick about this barbecue has been going for about 20 minutes, Cornelius. You said it 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's right.
You need, obviously, to let the embers... You don't want it on fire as such. So the ring of fire doesn't ring true. Because you won't have heard this, Cornelius, from Ring of Fire by Johnny Cash.
Oh, okay.
That's what I said, was the ring of fire doesn't ring true.
Because
that's not what you want. And given... I mean, I'd just like to tell you... I'd like to tell you what a beautiful view I have. I'd like to tell you that, but I'm in a car park. I'm in a car park. Can you at least get me the implementalia? Get some implementalia for me. And of course, you know, Talk Radio is no expense spent. We've got a fork and a knife and a cake slice. So I'm just going to have a look at... Now, here's a really good tip. I put the meat on and the meat's stuck. Already it's stuck to the grill. Now, that's not a bad thing. You need to let your meat talk to you. I realise, Cornelius, at your age, your meat talks to you a little bit too much. But when that's ready to come off, it'll come off. So I'm not going to fiddle with it too much. Once it chars, you see, can you see how that's not moving, Cornelius?
Mm-hmm.
It will move soon. Oh, look at that. Now it's moving. Now we're talking. Needs a bit more colour on that, a little bit more salt and pepper. People say don't season your meat before cooking it. I say those people are charlatans and liars. What are they?
Charlatans and liars.
Good. We'll play the Charlatans later, and then we'll play some Fleetwood Mac. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. I would like this to be a little bit fiercer, this fire. but it's fine. That's not really cooked there. People say don't season your meat because it draws the water out. That's utter nonsense. You need to season your meat before you put it on. Yes? And we're taking photographs as we go here, so you can look. If you look at our Twitter feed, you'll see me precariously close with a man with a long beard and precariously close to a source of fire. So you can already smell that. That lovely chocolate. Do you know, I'm absolutely certain Victoria Bourne is not going to buy into this. I just, that the face she put on when I suggested a raw steak, a rare steak earlier in the week, was not good. And obviously now sausages, Rob. I've got intern Rob with me. When I think of sausages, I come to you first. Do you like a sausage, Rob?
I actually prefer steak. I'm not a massive sausage fan. No, I wasn't following you down that route, though.
Yeah, well, you don't really have a choice. You're the intern, Rob.
What I find funny is because we only got one mic, I'm really, really close to your face, almost uncomfortably close proximity.
Really?
At the same time, it's also kind of interesting.
Do you like a sausage, Rob? Do you barbecue a sausage?
I do, yeah.
Right, do you make sure it's cooked all the way through?
Oh, yeah, you got it, haven't you?
So, two really helpful tips.
Yeah.
About generally cooking meat, particularly pork-based meat. The pork isn't an issue. People seem to labour under the delusion that you have to cook pork all the way through. You can. Angela Hartnett, the amazing chef at Murano, does pork pink. And you can actually do chicken pink as well. I wouldn't recommend it. Be a Michelin star chef before you do it. But with sausages and any meat, take it out of the fridge an hour before you cook it. Cornelius, did you hear me there?
Yeah.
What did I say there?
Take it out the fridge an hour before we cook it.
Get your meat at room temperature,
yeah,
Cornelius.
Okay.
Is your meat at room temperature?
It's a bit warm.
Your meat's warm?
It's on the
barbecue. That's okay. I'd rather it was warm than cold. Because think about this. If it's cold inside and you apply heat to the outside, that bit in the middle isn't going to cook. And it's so crucial with sausages. You need your sausages nice and cooked all the way through. And also split your sausages. I know it perhaps isn't the most aesthetically pleasing thing. Can you see that, Cornelius? Look at that. See what's happened to that fat?
Oh, wow.
Okay, I'm just going to tap my fork against this. That's fat. That's burny fat. I'm dying to know what Victoria Bourne's thinking right now. We're going to take this up to the studio to Victoria Bourne in a moment. It's cooking. What do you think, Rob, the intern?
Yeah, it looks good. It smells nice.
Wait, I've been wanting to ask you all week. Where do you get your confidence from?
I don't know, from you.
From me, thank you. Now, think about this bit of steak that's really interesting. Again, I am less interested in high-quality bits of beef. Fillet steak, for example, which comes from your back. So if you imagine you're between your shoulder blades here, that's where fillet comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Those muscles aren't being worked at all. Yeah, unlike the shoulder muscles and the muscles just above your backside, the ones and rump itself is hugely worked. If you imagine we're on all fours, as a cow would be, this steak is beautifully marbled. There's plenty of flour, fat on it. What does that fat do? It lubricates as we cook. Yeah, so one guarantee against dried out food and flavours. This is coming along beautifully. That Rob, can you just come over and testify? What's that fat looking like? What colour would you describe that? Close to my skin tones. So that's kind of Punjabi Glaswegian fat we've got going on there.
Mm.
The one issue we are having is there isn't a universal heat coming off the barbecue, and that is one of the issues with the barbecue. So just using your hand above the grill itself, just put your hand and just feel where it's hottest. It's often what you do to yourself when you've got a fever. You probably do that yourself generally, Rob. You look that way. People from Kent are noted for that. This is coming on beautifully. The fat is rendering. Rendering is a term Charlie Hodson used earlier in the week. You want the fat to render to burn down. You'll often find that the barbecue starts spitting and firing. This one isn't doing too badly. For an instant barbecue, producer Cass, you've done a pretty good job. Oh, we've got some colour on this meat. I'm just absolutely certain, though, that... Right, here we go. This is looking good. You've got a fork there. Where's the knife? Hold that for me. I'm going to break a little bit off and do tasting. That's a great thing about being the chef. You get to do the tasting. We're so nearly there. This is... The other thing is the separation between the grill and the you'll notice on a lot of even the pretty crappy barbecues, they've got ask me, Cornelius, ask me, what does that
what
taste of?
What is it? How is it? It looks good.
See, what does it taste of?
What does it taste of?
Success. It's lovely. Peppery, salty. That's why I think you need to season your meat before you put it on barbecue. I was just talking about the gradations. You don't even on a cheap throwaway, like an 8 quid barbecue, you've got the little struts on the side. Really think about what you're cooking. Think about how far away you want it from the heat. So if you've got sausages, you want it higher up, as we discussed, to cook all the way through. Fish, you want the skin crispy and against the heat. This is almost ready to go. Right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave this down here. You're going to give this another 1 minute. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to take it off, put it on the plate.
Yeah.
Then you're going to bring it up to me in studio.
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's what I'm worried.
And then we're going to get Victoria Bourne in to taste it. This is the joy of live radio, you see. I'm now walking up 2.5 flights. You're going to bye-bye, Rob the intern, you cocky wee so-and-so. You're going to understand how unfit I am now. So, what would you have with that steak? What accompaniments would you have? I think guacamole is very good. Again, you need to season your guacamole, avocado, love salt, fresh cracked black, pepper, obviously. Let's not start a riot. Tomatoes, lovely tomatoes. Just chuck some cherry tomatoes on the barbecue. They are just beautiful. Cover them. Leave them 10 minutes. Goes a lot of stairs. Salt, pepper, chili. Very nice. Chili sauce is very nice as well. With beef. This beef will be ready. Now, this is the point I was making to Victoria Bourne. Resting time. You're tempted to get that steak straight off the barbecue and into your mouth. That, my friend, would be your first mistake. What you need to do is you need to let that steak rest. All the juice you summon to the surface needs to rest back into the meat. Victoria Bourne is going to be so excited. Rest the steak. Oh, they're coming. Oh, my, there's so many steps, Chloe. There's so many steps. Oh, can we go to some ads? I'll get my breath back.
Talk Radio. Dial up some dialogue.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
And gently pull away. Very good, Miss Riley. Now, continue at this speed, and when I tap my clipboard on the dashboard, I want you to brake immediately in a controlled manner. Oh, excellent. Lovely bit of braking.
The new Goodyear Eagle F1 Asymmetric 3 will help you stop shorter on both dry and wet roads. Visit goodyear.co.uk to find your local dealer. Goodyear, made to feel good.
Now, Miss Riley, let's see a three-point turn.
Harry is a tradesman. He's happy that Screwfix has over 470 stores in the UK. Not because he wants to visit them all, but because it means that wherever he finds himself working, there's always one nearby. And if Harry can't get to Screwfix, Screwfix is happy to come to Harry. With next day delivery to his home or on site, 7 days a week, if he orders before 7pm weekdays, 4pm at weekends. Either way, Harry is happy. Those in the know, no Screwfix.
Life is full of deadlines. The deadline for that job application. The deadline for your tax return. And now, the Financial Conduct Authority is thinking about imposing a deadline for claiming missold PPI. So time could be running out for you to claim. Let PPI Claimback do most of the work for you. We can check whether you've had PPI. If you haven't, it won't cost you a penny. Text PPI to 80039. That's PPI to 80039.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
On the northbound M5 in Worcestershire, there's one lane closed. Emergency repairs between junction 8 for the M50 and 7 at Worcester with queues on approach. Southbound M5 near Bristol, there's slow traffic. A broken down lorry between junction 17 and 18A at Bristol. Northbound M6 in Staffordshire, there's a broken down lorry between junction 12, the A5 and 13 at Stafford. And in Worley in Lancashire, the A59 is closed in both directions this afternoon near the Worley Road junction with an accident. I'm Dave Stamford.
For me, it has to be those long, lazy days of summer when the barbecue's out and everyone's chilling in the garden. Tasty chicken wings are smothered in barbecue sauce before being gently turned on the barbie. Even Dad looks relaxed cooking them. Served with easy rice and salad. They don't disappear slowly, though. Before you know it, the plates are empty and the kids are busy licking the deliciously sticky sauce off their fingers. Oh, yum! And the barbecue sauce, to add a little magic, it has to be Heinz.
Start your engines, petrol heads, and don't miss the motor show. It's automotive for the people on your radio. Sports cars, pickups, 4x4s, GTI or coupe. What convertible is best to buy for a bloke who wears a toupee? He's the motor mouth with the V8 brain. His car know-how is stunning. Listen to Revved Up Andy J and get your motor running.
The Motor Show with Andy J.
Expert car talk that doesn't use a sneaky gadget to improve emissions.
This Saturday afternoon.
afternoon from 3 on Talk Radio. Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Hardeep Singh Kohli
on Talk Radio.
I mean, I have to say, Chloe was rubbish at clutching the air, but man, she can make some geometry. It's really interesting that, isn't it?
Helping escape this feeling of insecurity.
It may not be fashionable to light take that. It may not be fashionable not to pay your taxes. But I would love a choc ice. Did you just ask me live on air if I wanted a choc ice? This, Chloe, this is all wrong, right? I'm a chef. I've had the beers in the wrong order. I'm now going to have a choc ice. Oh, Rudyard, my darling Rudyard. How are you? Oh, Rudyard knows not to talk. This isn't his slot. You've just relit my fire, Rudyard. Oh. I need your chalk eyes. Chloe.
Yes?
Thank you. That was just a dramatic pause. Are you familiar with the concept of a chocolate on chocolate? Chalk eyes. A double chalk eyes.
I've had a double magnum recently.
Right. Try to answer the question I asked you.
No. Okay, no.
How was a double magnum?
How was it?
Yeah.
It was pretty good. They've shrunk, though. They've, like, halved in size.
I'm glad I'm not...
It's pretty sneaky.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that thinks that. What I love more than anything else in the world is a peanut feast. Have you had a peanut feast? You're shoving that choc ice into your mouth. You don't have the biggest mouth in the world, mate, but I've never seen anyone fill it so quickly with choc ice.
I didn't know there was a peanut feast.
What?
I've had a peanut butter cornetto.
What?
that.
What are you talking about, woman? Your newfangled cornettos.
I love peanut butter.
Do you like Reese peanut butter?
Yeah.
Do you like a toasted sandwich?
Yeah.
Do you like banana?
I do like peanut butter and banana.
Listen. Does the trailer bit at the beginning say... Talk Radio with Chloe. It doesn't, does it? It says with me. Let me do that bit. I was going to wow you with that idea and you were meant to pretend like you didn't know it existed. I knew where I was with the beer guys, Chloe. I knew where I was. You were an enigma wrapped in a mystery, shrouded in secrecy. Oh, have you had a toasted peanut butter and banana sandwich? Don't do that face now. She's doing that face. That's the face my mum does.
I've never had a peanut butter and banana sandwich, but it sounds incredible.
Right, now that's just a patronising tone.
I'm not being patronising.
Do you like white bread or brown bread?
Brown.
Okay, so you're down with the brown. Because you know what they say? Once you have brown, keep looking around town. A really nice, a half and half. Do you mash your banana up and ting? No. She's too busy with choc ice. She won't answer. It's a good choc ice, isn't it? It's one of those funny things in life. You know, sometimes, Chloe, the cheaper things are better than the expensive things. Prosecco, better than champagne. Yeah?
Definitely.
Bognor Regis, better than Ibiza. That's a lie. Just recap, we're not even halfway through the show. I've had 5 different types of beer. I've had the try of a wee fatty bit. Is our steak ready? Has our steak come back up yet? No.
It's right here.
Bring it into studio, please. Can you bring Victoria Bourne, please? Time for the Bourne supremacy. Now, what time did I was I back up the stairs there?
What time?
Yeah, from cooking the steak.
4:15.
Right, so the steak's rested... For 5 minutes, yeah?
Yeah.
The steak cooked for 7 minutes. By the time Victoria Bourne comes in and takes her seat to try this steak, ladies and gentlemen, it's Victoria Bourne, my friend, my colleague, my fellow beef eater.
Hello.
Victoria, how are you?
I'm okay, how are you?
I'm good. Are you ready for this?
I'm not sure.
Does it not look like what you... To be honest
it
with you...
It smells delicious.
Right. But does it not look like the sort of thing you want to eat?
No, I'm hungry. I'm ready.
Okay, so this steak has been resting for as long as it's cooked for. We were talking about this on Monday, yeah?
Yes.
So have you got a fork and knife? You've got implementalia there.
I'm holding a fork and not a steak knife, but a knife.
Not a steak knife.
No. But also, is this a cheese slice?
a cake slice. The unique way we're funded at Talk Radio. Now, I need a couple of things in my defence. It's regular salt and not sea salt.
Right.
I think sea salt would have been tastier because it catches, the flakes catch. Mm-hmm. It's pre-ground pepper, not freshly ground pepper.
Okay.
Again, there is a textural thing there. And please, this is, I realise, look, we're friends and colleagues, you want to be nice and supportive of me, you have been ever since we've met and worked together, but this, the truth needs to bear out here, my sister.
You're getting your excuses in, aren't you?
No, I just want you not, I just want you to not feel uncomfortable about having to tell me it doesn't taste good.
Okay, shall I try?
Can we have a drum roll, please? Not really. Excellent.
I'm cutting it.
She's cutting it. Chew
near, can you hear that?
Chew as near the mic as you can. This is tense, Cass. My entire...
This isn't as... I mean steak. This
Come on, Victoria.
It's not bleeding. It's not that
it's
rare.
That's rare.
Okay.
Mm. Can I try a bit?
Mm-hmm.
It's not medium, is it?
Well...
You wouldn't call that medium, would you?
I wouldn't call it rare.
But you've never had rare. She's now.
I thought rare was
sorry. You have to see this. This is me getting offered a bit of steak on a cake slice.
It's delicious, though. It is nice.
Oh, it's all right, isn't it?
Mmm. I'll have some more.
Oh, will you?
Yeah. I think, here's another one.
Do you know what that tastes of, ladies and gentlemen? Success. Now, I'll tell you why. If we'll be serious for a moment, cut me another bit, mate. That was great.
Okay.
The reason why you have this association with blood and a rare steak. Let me get in touch with the BBC Comedy Workshop. We've got the best new sound for cutting steak.
This is genuinely
Rob the intern, do you want to come in here? It's Cornelius here as well. I want you guys to try this steak. The reason you assume the blood is because, you know, when you cook something, Rob will have some of that.
This smells horrible.
Huh? It smells horrible.
No, this noise you're making
of chewing.
Yeah.
Horrible. This is a cake slicer.
We know.
Only the best. Only the best.
Tell us something we don't know.
Oh.
No, really, though.
No, it's really good.
Now, Victoria, let me just finish this point. Because what brought us here, mm-hmm. what brought us to this Thursday in the concrete car park experience, for you, my friend, is this notion of resting.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you think about a rare steak being bloody, the first thing you said was, that's not a rare steak, there's not blood coming out of it. Was because when you rest meat, all those juices go back into the meat.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's actually what gives it flavour.
Mm.
Jamie Oliver describes it in a brilliant way, which is if you imagine you're jumping into a cold swimming pool, when you jump in, your body goes like this, because it's cold.
So it clenches up.
Clenches up, and then as you get in and your temperature assimilates, you relax. That's exactly what happens with me. Yeah?
Top tip.
Thank you very much.
You.
Listen, Victoria Bourne. Yeah, give it to me, though, because I'm hungrier than you have had beer.
I'm going to have a...
Do you have another bit? Can you do some more comedy cutting for me? Where's Cornelius? I need Cornelius to eat some. Cass, you're a vegetarian. Do you want to come in and try some?
Yeah.
She's got that computer say no look on her face today.
I know Ben Fletcher from The Sport wants to have some steak.
Can I have some more, actually?
Get Ben Fletcher in. Get Ben in. Cass?
He's jealous.
Go get Ben.
Right. Rob the intern. Thank you for that.
No problem.
That's the first time Rob the intern hasn't looked down his nose at me all week.
Oh, that was good.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
And that's just a regular steak. That's like a £5 steak.
I know, I bought it.
I know. Can I just say, normally Victoria Bourne is in a rush to get out of my studio.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen her dilly-dally, shilly-shally, willy-wally as much as she is now.
No, she's like proper.
I think I might have won her over.
I'm really hungry all of the time.
Do you know what? I find that an admirable quality in any friend. Because I had lunch yesterday at 6 o'clock, followed by dinner at 8:30.
How many lunches did you have?
I only
this
had the
one. I bought you Diet Coke.
Okay.
Do you know what she did?
Hi,
she did?
Ben.
Here's
we have
Ben
lovely
from
Benji.
The
how are we?
Benji boy, would you like some of my steak?
I'd love to, thank you.
Can I just say, knock knock.
Who's there?
Sam Allardyce.
You mean the England manager? Elect. Did I just ruin your joke for you?
Yes, okay. Do you have my steak?
Sorry.
That's fine.
I'm going to get my news ready.
Get your news ready. And in the news, feel free to say, arrested steak tastes delicious, Victoria. But she's back in there. She's back in there. That's such a victory for humankind.
It looks quite rare. I like my steak
like
blue.
I
have it blue.
Really?
Literally 30 seconds on each side.
Okay. And how long do you rest your meat for, Ben?
How long do I rest it for? Before or during or after cooking?
After cooking.
I generally, by that point, I'm so ravenous.
Okay.
That by the time I would have rested it, it's gone.
Right, let's just talk this through because you're new to the game here. New to this game here.
Yeah.
Right, which is take your meat out of the fridge an hour before you cook it.
Yep.
So it assimilates to room temperature on a barbecue. Flash it. So season it. And oil it, and then do you ever get worried when your meat sticks to the barbecue?
Does that I cover it in oil first.
No, don't.
Don't.
Right, you need to let your meat talk to you. I know that sounds weird, but when you put it in the pan, the reason it's not going to come off is it's not ready to come off.
Okay.
As soon as that caramelizes and creates a hard surface,
then it's ready.
Come off. Let it tell you when it's ready. Flip it round. Always less on the second side because there's residual heat from the first side or carry through. So if you do, say, 45 seconds first side, 30 seconds second side, take it off, rest it for 5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Foil, 2 tea towels. Yeah. Go and open a beer. Give me a call. Ask me to help you go shirt buying because that's a great shirt, but you need another one. Now you're going to try this for me.
Let's try this. Okay. It looks nice and red.
You be honest with me. You're a sports journalist. He doesn't know.
Chewing it. It's all in my mouthful. That's good. That's nice.
That's a £3 steak.
It is. Have you seasoned it?
Yes. But that could be so much better if there was sea salt and fresh black, for which I don't mean an African-American person, clearly. Although I'm not ruling them out.
That's probably the upper end towards medium than I'd normally like, but I do like it rare, and that is a rare steak, I would say. Nice.
Okay, and here's the other bizarre thing. It's more difficult to get a rare steak on a tepid barbecue. You need a hot, hot pan. You need to sear. Can I have the rest of that steak? Ben, thank you. What have you got coming up today?
More sports news. We're going to be waiting for the confirmation of Sam Allardyce as England manager.
Do you think that's a good booking?
I would say so.
Well, I suppose he's used to relegation battlers. I mean, that's where England are.
Yeah, but you
now,
want a man manager. You know, we had a football connoisseur in Roy Hodgson, didn't motivate the players enough. Sven Goran Eriksson, somebody well-travelled, just couldn't motivate them. Fabio Capello. But now we've got a guy.
Ben, this isn't talk sport.
Sorry?
Shut up, get out.
I asked him a question. Give me my
meat. Giving my marching orders. That's nice, isn't
listen,
it?
Good luck.
Someone a favour.
Good luck. I hope you. Thank you. I think you found we were doing you the favour, mate.
I think so.
Lovely thank Ben you. From TalkSport. See you again, mate. Thank you very much. I'm Hardy Simcoli. This has been actually one of those days in my life where I don't feel like I can call this work, Victoria Bourne. I've fed a friend. I've had beer with mates. I've had a choc ice from the Clomeister. And Cass has told TalkSport to get out of my studio. She's now doing genuine pointing towards him in his pink shirt. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know what time it is? It's time for the Bourne supremacy herself. The news and sport from Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
Police in Norfolk say they can't rule out terrorism after the attempted abduction of a serviceman. Two men, one armed with a knife, approached the man who was jogging at RAF Marham when it happened yesterday. Russia's sports minister says the decision to uphold an Olympic ban on the country's track and field team violates the rights of honest athletes. The Court of Arbitration for Sport has rejected an appeal against the IAAF punishment handed out after evidence of state-sponsored doping. Philip Barker is an Olympic historian.
This is truly unprecedented. Countries have been banned from the Olympics before for political reasons. For example, we had South Africa banned because of apartheid. But nothing on this scale for a sporting matter, a field of play matter like doping.
A man has been sentenced to at least 23 years in prison for murdering a single mum he'd met on an online dating site. 35-year-old Mars Donnelly said he was sexually frustrated when he killed 44-year-old Usha Patel in a drunken rage last October. Jeremy Corbyn has told Labour MPs it's their job, duty and responsibility to unite as a party against inequality and the Conservative Party. The Labour leader said he wanted to build a better and fairer Britain as he launched his fight to hold on to his position. And saying Sainsbury's is creating 900 new jobs by launching a same-day online delivery service. Customers who order before midday will be able to have their food by 6 o'clock in the evening. The weather fine for most places with the best of the sunshine across eastern areas. Elsewhere, cloud will increase from the west with showers spreading across western areas. Highs of 25 degrees. There's more in half an hour.
across the UK, online and on DAB. Saturday Breakfast with Penny Smith
on Talk Radio.
I'm Penny Smith. Join me every Saturday morning from 8 on Talk Radio for the perfect weekend breakfast. I'm going to be reviewing the papers, taking a look at all the best new film, book and theatre releases, and I'm going to be chatting to a whole host of celebrity guests live in the studio.
Saturday Breakfast with Penny Smith. Saturday morning from 8.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking.
Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Hardeep Singh Kohli
on Talk Radio.
Sugar Cues, a little sweetener, with a song called Hot Meat. I'm just going to let that hang in the air for a minute. Hot Meat. Liam. We've got Liam from the tech, the video people in. Do you want a video of me? Hot Meat hanging in the air. Luke, Liam.
That's Luke, not Liam.
So it's all white people's names, do you know what I mean? Oh, not so funny when I haven't got you now, is it? Yeah? Khalid, Imran, yeah? Guess who's in the studio? Like, I have to confess, I'm very fortunate in that I get to do this thing I love, and I do it with a degree of mediocrity that's unsurpassed. And I also get to get my mates in. Amy.
Hello.
Rachel.
Hi, mate.
You, couple of amazing, amazing artists. Now, Ostentatious, I've known about Ostentatious Rachel, you and I have worked together for years.
We have.
And we're dear friends. And I need to tell you this. I haven't had a chance to tell you because you're one of those people I see you like three times a year and then I see you in Edinburgh.
You're one of those people, Hardy, that I'll be just walking along a street in a random part of the country in like Wales or Norfolk or something and you'll just appear out of a pub somewhere and we'll have a catch up.
That's because I'm stalking you.
After three
you.
And a half years.
I've not worked that one out, mate. I used to do...
And you're always eating steak when we have the conversation.
Well, I'm actually always eating when we meet.
Yeah, you are.
Because I used to book you to do these cabaret nights at Shiki's Oyster Bar.
Yeah.
And it was a really difficult venue to play. And we were going to try and get Ostentatious down there, but we stopped doing it after a while. And you did a song based on Pop Idol. I'm amazing. And I walk around singing that song to myself because it makes me smile so much. Because your onstage persona is so different from who you are in real life. Like you're really, like that you're very kind of cocky and arrogant and a little bit sort of.
I think that's changed a little bit recently. No, probably since the last time you saw me on stage.
Your character, has it been a while?
It's more like me now
is
on
it?
Stage.
I look very really like you, so that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Now tell me about Ostentatious, because I saw it in a room above a pub, Rathbone Place. And it was brilliant.
Wow. Okay.
Long time ago,
yeah. So it's been going for 5 years now, and now we're playing at the Leicester Square Theatre once a month, and then obviously Edinburgh coming up, and then a UK tour in the autumn. So it's bigger.
It's bigger, it's got better costumes.
Yeah, got better musicians.
Yeah.
So how does it actually work?
Right, so what happens is we get all of the people in the audience to suggest a made-up book title.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be Jane Austen, so it can be anything. It can be like Talk Radio and the Apocalypse or...
Pretty much every time I'm presenting the show. First time producer Cass has put someone to smile.
Or My Best Steak, anything like that. That sounds like it could be some kind of book. And then we pick one out of a hat. And it's completely random. It's always the third one that we pick out of the hat at the start of the show. And then...
It's pretty much how they select the England manager as well. Third one out of the hat. See what I did there, Lionel. Lionel, Luke, Liam. It's all white people's names.
And then we make up a story together over the course of an hour and we tell it on stage.
Could you do it now?
Well, I don't think we've got time, but we could do a bit. We could do a bit of work. Yeah.
Right, so, Chloe, Give me a made-up booked. What made-up booked? Where do you? Okay, no. Here's what we'll do, Chloe. What's the name of the street? No, the name of the street you grew up in. I can't. Stalker's Charter. That is, isn't it? Name of the street you grew up in.
I'll say I grew up in a town called Tring. That's
Tring.
Quite...
You're from Tring.
Yeah.
I love Tring. They've got an excellent comedy festival. Tring.
Yeah.
Cass, the name of your first pet.
Bunny.
Tring Bunny and Cornelius, the last bit of pornography you watched.
Just the last bit, Cornelia.
Just the last bit of pornography you watched. What I've done there is I've done a take on the porn star name, but it's clearly not gone down very well across the listening nation. Cornelius, your middle name?
James.
So James Tring and the Bunny Invasion.
Oh, nice. Okay. James Tring and the Bunny Invasion. All right.
And your time starts.
You can give us a little bit of music to open the show. Is that the arch?
1940s tea time treat.
Mr. Tring, I haven't seen you at so many balls for the last few months. I had begun to think that you had left the county.
Oh, why, Miss Catherine, I am delighted to see you. What a joy you look today in such a, well, what can only be described as something from France.
Mr. Tring, I know that it looks as though it is from France, but I assure you it was made very much here in the village, by my own mother, no less.
Oh, good grief.
Who, it must be said, Mr. Tring, has rather forbidden me from keeping your company.
She has?
Yes.
Well, one would only assume that was due to the fact that we spent such time together those years ago.
James, we cannot talk of the time years ago and the rabbits.
Oh, please, not now, not at a ball. Don't mention the rabbits now.
James, if anyone is ever going to mention the rabbits, it must be now, at this hunting ball, for when else should one mention a rabbit?
Good God, at least in a quiet room, away from others. If people are to hear me talking about rabbits, I shall be evicted again, and who knows when I'll be able to return to the village.
Very well. If you will not meet me on common ground, then I shall take my leave of you. You will not see me again for some time.
Oh, but Catherine...
No, goodbye.
Catherine...
Oh, did you see those two over by the port table?
Oh, you know, Alice, I spotted them. And you know what I heard? Rabbits! They were at it like rabbits!
There hasn't been a rabbit in this town for nigh on 75 years, not since the myxomatosis scandal.
You know who started that myxomatosis scandal, do you not, Alice?
Oh, indeed I do, Martha.
And you know what? He set foot back in this village again.
Oh, yeah.
And this time, who knows what he's brought with him?
Well... I know what he's going to bring, and it's not just going to be pesky little animals that overpopulate.
What are you saying, Alice?
Oh, he's got away with the ladies, that James Tring. Mark my words, there's trouble brewing.
Very good. I was lost in a world of... It's very amazing how quickly you summon up the sense of where we are. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, good.
Do you want to hear a really rubbish joke?
Yeah, sure.
A rabbit goes into a bar. This is a pint of your best. And what, do you need any food? At the bottom of the wizard, well, we've got cheese and tomato toasty, ham and cheese toasty, or a ham, cheese and tomato toasty with pickle. And he says, well, I'll have a cheese and ham toasty. Has his toasty, has his pint. Comes in the next news. I'll have a pint of best, please. And maybe a ham and cheese toasty today? Different from yesterday? Yeah, fine. How's that? Goes. Next thing comes in. He goes, pint of best for you? He says the barman. He recognises the rabbit. Says, yeah. Anything for lunch? He goes, well, do you know what? I'll have everything. I'll have everything you've got on a toastie. He goes, great, good choice. Eats a toastie, drops down dead. The barman's like, oh, he's in pieces. I'm just getting to know this. Regular. And the paramedics come up and the barman says, what killed him? And he goes, oh, it's a case of mixing my toasties. I'm getting the thumbs down from Chloe. Thumbs down from Chloe. Let's not even... two thumbs down from producer Cass. Okay.
I think, well, you pulled it off with excellent showmanship.
I like to think so. but guys, when you sell out Edinburgh for 230 seats for a 28, then come back. When you get called by the Daily Express an acceptable act if everyone else is sold out, come back and see me. Yeah? When you get from the Glasgow Herald not as funny as his brother, come and see me. What is it about Jane Austen? Because she's a remarkable, remarkable woman. When you consider the time, we're going to talk about that in a minute. I want you to think about that while we sell things to the members of the public.
Oh, great.
across the UK, online and on DAB.
Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Remember, every time you lie, you'll receive a mild electric shock. So, if you had £159, what could you spend it on?
Well, a Sitchin Blingo Enterprise van is only £159 a month.
Sir, I remind you, no lies.
It is, with aircon, DAB digital radio and Bluetooth until the end of July.
Are you okay?
Yeah. No.
Citroën.
TNCs apply. Advance rental required. Finance lease business users only on vehicles registered by 31st of July 2016. Subject to status, guarantees may be required. Over 18s only. PSA Finance UK trading as Citroën Contract Motoring excludes VAT at 20%.
Now at TradePoint. Three for £33 on selected Leyland trade paint. Offer ends 25th of August. In store only. Excludes VAT at 20%. TradePoint.
Ugh, he's gone and written me off, Churchy. We get in one scrape and that's it.
Oh, dear.
Well, he never could handle a car like me.
If your car is written off, you can choose between a replacement, paying for an upgrade, or the money.
You've done me a favour there, Churchy.
Oh, yes.
I always knew we were a car crash from the start.
No.
Churchill, depend on the dog. Comprehensive cover only. Excludes theft claim subject to availability. Minimum car value £3,500 or cash replacement upgrade available when difference is paid. Underwritten by UK Insurance Limited.
See you later, love. Enjoy the game.
Will do.
Right, my time. Sport time. What's it going to be then? Riders, drivers, strikers, fast markets. Excellent. Are they going to score? 6-1. Dig fast. Bet fast.
Feel the excitement with 10bet. Kick off with a first deposit bonus of up to £200. Play at 10bet.co.uk. That's 10bet.co.uk. $5 a deposit and bonus required. Minimum deposit £15. Please gamble responsibly.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
On the northbound M5 in Worcestershire, there's one lane closed. Emergency repairs between junction 8 for the M50 and 7 at Worcester with queues on approach. Southbound M5 near Bristol, there's slow traffic. A broken down lorry between junction 17 and 18A at Bristol. Northbound M6 in Staffordshire, there's a broken down lorry between junction 12, the A5 and 13 at Stafford. And in Worley in Lancashire, the A59 is closed in both directions this afternoon near the Worley Road junction with an accident. I'm Dave Stamford.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio.
It's been a full-on, frantic and frenetic week on the news front, from coups in Turkey to the Prime Minister jetting off to Germany, which is why we have a four-hour breakfast every morning of the week to cram it all in. And sometimes 4 hours doesn't seem enough, especially when, as in our next show, you sprinkle in some X Factor Stardust and the weekend's TV. We'll get you talking on the Full Set Breakfast.
The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast, tomorrow morning from 6 on Talk Radio. Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Hardeep Singh Kohli
on Talk Radio.
I love Leicester for many reasons.
Take me tonight, I'm an easy lover.
Kasabian is just one of them.
Take me into the fire, I'm an easy lover.
Do you know why?
I'm on fire.
He's on fire.
Burn my sweet effigy. I'm a roadrunner. Spill my guts on the wheel. I wanna taste.
Here we go, you ready for this? We're marching. Cousicas, you rock out with me?
I'm on fire.
Sabian, I'm on fire, which is hopefully what your barbecue should be.
Are they from Leicester?
They're from Leicester.
I'm from Leicester.
Are you from Leicester?
Yay.
How many years have I known you and I never knew that about you?
Yeah.
Which part of Leicester are you from?
Just outside town, a place called Syston.
Oh, Syston?
Yeah, do
never
you know
heard
it?
Of it. No, I think Leicester's amazing.
Yeah.
I did Panto in Leicester at De Montfort Hall.
Oh, De Montfort Hall.
It's massive.
Saw my first rock concert at De Montfort Hall.
Who was that?
Not rock, sorry, I used the word rock concert.
Like Spice Girls.
Yeah. Who was it? It wasn't. There was a mixed bill. There was the people who did that, what were they called? Aliens. There was Cleopatra. Oh. From Cleopatra.
Whatever happened to them?
I don't know.
They're from Manchester, weren't they?
It's like they waved at me in the balcony and then they disappeared into obscurity.
Wow, your fault.
That often happens when people wave at you, and here you are still playing sold out shows. Unfair. Yes, I love Leicester. The food's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
People are lovely. Great Chinese food.
Oh, yeah.
A great Turkish Anatolia just up the London Road, just before it resolves at the top of the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant. Obviously, great Gujarati food. And great Punjabi food.
Mm-hmm.
Great place, Leicester. God, I never knew that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they're great. I think Seamen are amazing.
Yeah.
Where are you from, Amy?
Well, originally Chichester.
No, you're from heaven.
Oh, stop. What a treat.
But stop.
Chloe, shake your head at me once more and I will separate it from your torso. Chichester.
Yeah, although my parents are from Leicester, in fact.
It all comes back to Leicester. Yeah.
Do phone in if you're not from Leicester. Because Lionel, Liam, Luke, where are you from?
I'm from Ireland.
Whereabouts?
Ooh. Dublin.
You don't sound very Irish.
I moved around. We left when I was three.
Which part of Ireland are you from?
East Ireland, Dublin.
No, which part of Dublin are you from?
Oh, Churchtown, South Dublin.
Nice. Ah, that's English Ireland. That's English Dublin.
Yeah, that's we moved away when I was from. Three, though. That's why I don't have an accent.
Do you still feel Irish, though?
Not really, no.
Okay.
Got an EU passport, though.
Yes, I do.
Oh, nice work.
But they're not going to evict me in a couple of years.
No, they might just for having foppishly brilliant hair.
No, to be fair, I need to cut. I look a bit like a teenage Justin Bieber at this point.
Well, listen, at least you don't love yourself. We've got a list of lovely suggestions for people on Twitter for things for you to do.
Okay.
But before we do that, like all good performers, you are doing not just ostentatious. When is ostentatious on, by the way, for you?
It's on at 1:30.
Perfect slot.
It's
a great lunchtime show in Edinburgh.
It's a great start to the day.
Mm.
Also, people forget.
Like Weetabix.
Yeah.
Mm.
Filling.
Or a crack pipe. just the pipe, nothing in it. People get somewhat mistaken. They don't know the Edinburgh schedule.
Mm.
And they sort of think, oh, no, 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening is when you want to be. You don't, because that's when everyone is.
Yeah.
And actually, a sort of show like yours is a perfect way to start the day, I think.
It really is. And it's also, like, it's not just for... It's on at that time, so, like, it's fairly family-friendly.
Family,
but
it
probably is it's more for adults in terms of, like, getting on with the story and the little
certainly
jokes.
Certainly, when I've seen it, it works on two levels, at least. There is the kind of the adult stuff and the stuff the kids aren't going to be alienated by.
Exactly, yeah.
And you're doing other things as well. Amy, you're...
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm sort of working alongside a new piece of musical theatre called How to Win at History. Which is based on a true story of a lord from Anglesey in Wales. And he spent all the family fortune on becoming a drag act. And this is in the early 1900s.
Wow!
And then his family was so ashamed of him that they burnt him out of history. So burnt all his belongings and his diaries and photographs and things. So this is exploring him and why he chose to do what he did and why he spent the money way he did.
That sounds brilliant.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah. It's on at the Oval House Theatre at the moment. It opens tonight. So it's doing a short run preview here. And then it's up at Assembly in Edinburgh for the month.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah.
See, let's talk about previews. I'm knee-deep in the Hoopla, preview-wise.
Right.
And I'm also directing another show, Maddie. Anne Holt was in. Yes, I'm directing, writing her show with her. She's knee-deep in previews. You don't really have to preview for ostentatious, do you? It's not really about that.
No.
Yeah, we do plenty of shows before Edinburgh, but, yeah, we never call them previews.
No, we don't.
It's just different every time, yeah, so...
Yeah, we just have to get into that sort of the mindset of being able to do a show day after day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the last few weeks have been quite busy. We've been down at the South Bank in the Purple Cow for a few shows there, sort of gearing ourselves up. But, yeah, every show is different, so you can't really preview it as such.
Okay. Are you ready to do some speed ostentatious?
Yeah.
I mean, we'll give it a go.
You haven't seen these suggestions.
Nope.
No.
I've got 6 suggestions here.
Mm. So we're going to do little sort of
about a minute,
tiny...
a minute and a half each?
Max,
yeah.
Okay.
And I'll give a bing.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, good.
Yeah.
Turn the page,
Turn the page. Bing. No. So Philip Lowe, on Twitter, lovely Philip Lowe.
Oh, Philip.
Will you give me a sousson, if you will,
yeah.
a modicum,
yeah.
if you so desire, of the importance of being unearnest?
Well, Lady Barnacle. Well, Lady Barnacle, I must say that dress makes you look absolutely glorious.
Lady Welk, how kind of you to say. You are correct in spotting the fact that it does make me look fabulous. I have worked pretty hard on accentuating all my features.
Lady Barnacle, and what features they are to accentuate, goodness me. Is it of the finest silk?
You cannot see with your own eyes. Of course it is of the finest silk. If it was not the finest silk, then you'd be able to see the weft and the weave.
Lady Barnacle, we are such dear friends, but I had heard you had something of a drop in fortune, so I thought I should just check.
Oh, Lady Welk, you choose now, this afternoon, to mention it. Well, yes, it has been a couple of dry months, though I am on the up, as is...
Oh, but you make the best of it, Lady Barnacles. Make do and mend, as George the Fourth said.
Oh, you can see the stitching.
Bing! Ooh, ever so catty. Lovely Max on Twitter. You give me a sousson, if you will.
A modicum?
A modicum, no less. Should bring it up this afternoon. What we came to expect from Keith Chegwin.
I don't... Everyone in the comedy community has got a particular idea of what Keith Chegwin is up to.
Well, the joke stealer, yeah. Keith Chegwin.
Yeah.
Well, Melissa, what a joy it is to have you here for afternoon tea. Do come in and take a seat.
Thank you, Alice.
You look as though you have, you've come through the hedge backwards on the way.
Well, indeed, perhaps I am a little bit less couth than ordinarily, but...
What is that in your pocket?
Oh, this?
Yes, it looks like it's a gentleman's handkerchief.
Oh. Oh, goodness, I did not mean to leave that there. I'm afraid I have come direct from a house which was not my own.
Oh.
Are you acquainted very much, Alice, with the Walk of Shame?
Oh, I have never done it myself, although I have heard it is rather treacherous.
It is funny that it is called the Walk of Shame, when sometimes one does not feel overly shameful, but rather more proud.
Good grief, Melissa, I do not think you should be here having afternoon tea with such an attitude.
Well, perhaps I shall return to Lord Chegwin's, and he shall have me instead.
I just love...
What a horrible thought.
I love the... two things I really like about that is, one, to introduce the notion of the Walk of Shame into the time of Austen.
We've all been
and
there.
Two, not to denigrate it. What shame? Mm. What shame is there?
Exactly.
In having had your biscuits?
Well, if it was Keith Chegwin. But, yeah, but ordinarily...
But I hear there'd be no risk of you. I mean, it's just something about his age and stress. John in Grimsby, Chloe. John in Grimsby... Of Mickey Mouse and Men. Give me a sousson.
Of Mickey Mouse and Men.
Or a modicum. You're not doing that repeated joke now. No.
Oh, sorry. No. I'm sorry. I left you hanging.
Left me hanging there, mate. So this is why I can't do improvisation. I want to talk, before you go, I want to talk a little bit about improvisation because it's much harder than people think it is.
Yeah.
But first, of Mickey Mouse and Men. A sousson.
A modicum.
Thank you.
Right, Charles. We are men and we shall behave as such. If there is a problem with rodents in this household, then we are going to solve it.
You are absolutely right, Michael. I have brought down some brooms and some rolled-up newspapers. These bar stewards will be out of this house before time.
Quite right, Charles. Now, into the scullery. That is where the worst of the problem dwells.
Well, you know what's in the scullery. It's no wonder they're coming in through there. Maggie's been leaving the bread out.
Maggie!
Oh, Maggie!
Damn her! Tried to fire her 7 times.
Well, you've clearly not done it hard enough, have you, Michael? What's wrong with your man? Pull your socks up and fire the woman.
Charles, what? I'm deeply, deeply afraid of mice.
You're kidding me.
Charles, don't make me go near a mouse. I can't bear it.
Michael, you're a man. Or are you a mouse?
Oh, don't shame me, Charles.
No, honestly, stand here and tell me.
Spiders, fine. Flies, fine. Lizards, don't get many of them, but fine. You know, dragons, if I ever saw one, fine. But mice, Charles.
Oh, for goodness sake, Michael, they're smaller than you. Pull yourself together. Bing!
Finally, do me a very quick one, because I want to talk to you a little bit before you go. Rachel, I'm just lovely Rachel. Brexit 2. Brexit harder. Will you give me a sousson of Brexit harder? Will you give me a sousson of Brexit harder? Just drop, just hang me. Go.
Oh, Lilybeth. Oh, to be out on the waters on a boat sailing across the ocean.
Oh, Mary Beth. Well, this is your first time on a boat, is it not?
It is. And I am feeling more sick than I thought I would.
Oh, why, look. I can see the cliffs. We are approaching France.
Oh, good grief, we've come so far, and yet not so far at all.
Oh, Mary Beth, you shall have such wonderful travels. They have so much to offer indeed.
Oh, what happens if I don't want to come back? What happens if I want to stay forever?
Oh, Mary Beth, I should not be surprised if you would, but you know that we shall be waiting for you at home. Why, I shall have so much to show you. Such wonderful cuisine. Oh, and the fashions.
And I've heard the people are wonderful.
Oh, yes.
Oh, can you just imagine if we'd sent Father a letter saying that we weren't returning?
Indeed. Oh, why, something is happening.
What?
The oarsmen. They've started rowing the other way.
No.
Oh, stop it.
No, no, Jenkins, no, keep going forwards. We must get to France.
Oh, dear, the captain is quite turned around. And he's saying very rude things, swearing in French.
Oh, good grief.
Ironically. Considering.
Good grief. Are those not white cliffs too? We're heading for Dover.
Oh, Mary Beth, we shall never see the wonders of Europe after all.
Bing! Yay! Now, I'm going to have another quick 1 minute here. And quickly, in a minute, why is improvisation so difficult? More difficult than people think it is. What's that thing about, you know, when someone says something and they expect a response from you and you leave them hanging?
Yeah.
I can't think of anything specific.
Well, in
maybe
some ways...
Maybe like modicum sous-sous.
In some ways, it is harder. In some ways, it's not as mind-blowingly... people think of it as completely unfathomable, like magic. And it's not, in a way. Like, there is... It's the way... It's like learning any skill. Like, you learn it.
But it is a skill. And
But it is a skill. And people sometimes confuse it with, like, ad-libbing.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? People are like, different. Oh, I've done improv. When I get a script, it's rough around the
change
edges.
Change a few words. A bit.
Whereas, yeah, but the difference
this is different.
Closed response. If anyone knows what you're doing, they were offering each other open responses. You weren't closing your channels off, mm-hmm. But if you excuse the pun, yeah. On the Brexit thing there. So remind me when Ostentatious is and where it is.
So it's 1:30 in the Purple Cow, Udderbelly, and from the 5th to the 20th.
First.
Should we have a curry? Should we have a curry?
I'd love a curry.
I'd love that.
Can we cook you a curry?
Oh, I'd love that.
Let's make that
happen.
That'd
be so nice.
Watch him cook. Your musical show is?
It's at 5:30. It's called How to Win at History, and it's at the Assembly.
And what's your show, Rachel Paris?
My show is a musical comedy and stand-up show, and it's called Best Laid Plans. And it's all about what happens when the life plans that you have, that everyone has, whatever they may be, kind of fall flat. And you have to start making them up again from scratch.
Well, you know what? It's absolutely joyous to have you both here. I'm terribly, terribly fond of both of what you do. And I hope to see you, if not in Edinburgh, at the Hunt Ball in September.
See you then.
Ostentatious, ladies and gentlemen.
Talk Radio.
Join the Talk Nation.
Pick up your phone and Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Welcome to Thursday's Phone-In. I'm James Martin, and this summer I'm working with Asda to answer your everyday meal questions. How can I help you, Paul?
Hi, James. We always try and do a family roast, but what can you recommend as a summer option?
Spatchcock chicken works brilliantly when the weather gets warmer.
Right.
Use one of Asda's whole chickens and carefully remove the backbone using sharp scissors. Uh-huh. And press it as flat as possible. Then mix maple syrup, lemon juice, mustard and thyme in a bowl and pour the mixture over the skin.
Oh.
Roast it for 45 minutes until glazed golden brown.
Oh, that's going to go down a storm with my lot.
And if you want to try this at home, visit asda.com/James Martin for all the details.
Selected stores subject to availability.
Harry is a tradesman. He's happy that Screwfix has over 470 stores in the UK. Not because he wants to visit them all, but because it means that wherever he finds himself working, there's always one nearby. And if Harry can't get to Screwfix, Screwfix is happy to come to Harry. With next day delivery to his home or on site, 7 days a week, if he orders before 7 p.m. weekdays, 4 p.m. at weekends. Either way, Harry is happy. Those in the know Screwfix.
It's amazing what you have at your fingertips. Emails, photos, banking. Yep, your smart devices keep getting smarter. But so do all those cyber criminals. They keep coming up with new ways to get at the personal things on your phone, tablet and computer. To keep them secure, always download the latest software and app updates. They contain important security upgrades which help protect your device from nasty viruses and hackers. Be cyber streetwise. Visit cyberstreetwise.com.
Spatchcock chicken with maple syrup
Yeah, I thought it would grab your attention. Well, it's not just for Paul and his family. Now your family can try it too, because Asda's whole British chickens are only £2.79. You can get all these ingredients at Asda, as well as a full recipe at asda.com/James Martin.
Selected stores subject to availability. Whole chicken 1.35 kilograms.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A new kind of talk radio. We'll get you talking. Talk radio.
Hello, and now the news and headlines with Victoria Ball.
Thanks, Hardeep. Coming up, attempted kidnap at an RAF base, Olympic ban for Russia's track and field stars, and a holiday park is fined after a boy's death.
Talk radio.
Police say they can't discount terrorism after the attempted abduction of a serviceman at RAF Marham in Norfolk. It happened yesterday afternoon when the victim was out jogging. He wasn't hurt, and the two suspects, one armed with a knife, fled after he fought them off. This woman's husband works at the base.
We were quite near to where it happened, so we had a police helicopter above where we were, and the police were there straight away. It took a couple of hours to tell us what had happened, but we were all made aware.
There'll be no track and field athletes competing under the Russian flag at next month's Rio Olympics. The Court of Arbitration for Sports upheld a ban put in place in the wake of the doping scandal. Philip Barker, an Olympic historian, has told Talk Radio it could lead the way for further punishment.
Now that the CAS, the Court of Arbitration for Sport, has upheld this decision on the athletes, this could open the way for an entire blanket ban because of that WADA report we saw the other day that says that it wasn't just athletics.
A rescue operation is underway after a car plunged into the River Clyde in Renfrew. Police Scotland says it happened just after 1:20 this afternoon. The French president's warned Brexit negotiations cannot be allowed to drag on.
We have to open the negotiations, the sooner the better, in conditions that have to be established, so then let us move forward in terms of the choices to make for all.
François Hollande's comments come before his first meeting with the new Prime Minister, Theresa May, this afternoon. She's already said the process for the UK to start leaving the EU won't be started this year. Jeremy Corbyn has promised to tackle inequality and injustice as he launched his fight to hold on to the Labour leadership. More than 180,000 people joined the party in the space of 2 days this week, so they can vote in the contest between Mr Corbyn and former Shadow Minister Owen Smith. Labour MP Jim Fitzpatrick has criticised the increased membership fee.
Not many working class people, they came that Jeremy are saying that he wants to represent, which I really don't think he's doing a very effective job for them. £25 is a lot of money to pay for one vote for a Labour Party leadership election. Owen may very well not win, but I'm sure he'll put up the best opportunity.
A holiday park operator in Angus has been fined £234,000 for health and safety breaches. An investigation found they were a significant factor in the death of a six-year-old boy in 2011. Aidan Yule was playing in the main pool at the Red Lion Holiday Park when his head slipped under the water. And a group of comedians and authors will read the whole Iraq inquiry report in a shed at the Edinburgh Fringe. It's expected to take them 2 weeks to get through the 2.6 million words in a 24-hour relay next month. People can book tickets to see part of the Chilcot report being read out, but there are only 4 seats.
Talk Radio National Weather.
A fine day for most places with the best of the sunshine across the eastern areas. Elsewhere, cloud will increase from the west with showers spreading across western areas. Highs of 25 degrees.
Talk Radio Sports Update.
I'm Ben Fletcher. Good afternoon. Jose Mourinho has given a glowing endorsement to England manager-elect Sam Allardyce. The Sunderland boss is due to be named as Roy Hodgson's successor, with the appointment expected to be confirmed soon. Mourinho and Allardyce haven't always seen eye to eye, but the Manchester United manager says England have the right man.
I think he's more than ready. I think he's a good motivator. I think he can create a good team spirit with his players. And I wish him the best, not just as a friend, but my side as a Man United manager. So good luck, Big Sam.
It's thought Allardyce will be offered an initial 2-year deal. As for his replacement at the Stadium of Light, it's expected that David Moyes will step into the breach. Finally, cricket. Jake Ball and Stephen Finn have been left out of England's squad for tomorrow's second test against Pakistan. They'll be replaced by the returning James Anderson and Ben Stokes for the game at Old Trafford. That's the latest sports news powered by TalkSport.
Talk Radio. Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Hardeep Singh Kohli
on Talk Radio.
Hi,
how would you best describe the typical barbecue in Britain?
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone.
Two words sum it up for me.
Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you.
You set the barbecue up, get it nice and going.
I walked out this morning and I wrote down this song.
And then in the middle of the July, the inevitable happens.
Just can't remember who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain.
It chucks it down.
I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end.
Your steak is soggy.
I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend.
The guacamole is sponsored by Noah.
But I always thought that I'd see you again.
By which you mean seeing the chip shop owner again, because that's what you're having for your tea.
Won't you look down upon me, Jesus?
Because we all say Jesus.
You gotta help me make a stand.
Is this rain ever gonna stop, Chloe?
You just got to see me through another day.
Just before we talk jousting, I've had some lovely tweets in about that's Fire and Rain, of course, by the inimitable James Taylor. Perfect barbecue song. Jonathan Skeets suggested a couple. We'll Meet Again. Long-haired lover from Liverpool. And then Mr. Bayless. The T-Bone Shuffle. Liver Let Die. Belladonna. Shish Gonna Make It. No, I think he's just like making song titles up now. Now, you might have been mistaken for thinking it was April, the beginning of April, with the appointment of Sam Allardyce as the England manager, and with the notion that jousting is to make a return. Now, I love The Knight's Tale. I thought it was a great film, and I love a bit of a joust, but English Heritage are deadly serious, unquote, about bidding to get jousting into the Olympics. This game that started under Henry VIII. Do you know, Soho itself, you know Shaftesbury Avenue in London, Soho, it's called Shaftesbury Avenue because Henry VIII fired an arrow and the shaft landed and they named it Shaftesbury Avenue. And Soho was actually a kind of hunting cry when they went hunting for foxes. So in keeping with this, I've got jousting expert Stacey Evans on the line. Good afternoon, Stacey.
Hello there, how are you doing?
Now, I'm just fascinated to know how you're a jousting expert. What are your qualifications for this? Have you jousted?
Yeah, I've been jousting now. I started jousting in the year 2000, so I've been jousting for about 16 years.
And what prompted you? Because my Chloe here is quite keen on the jousting, particularly the uniform side of it. What do you wear when you joust?
Well, when we go and compete, we wear suits of armour. We tend to use historically accurate suits of armour, mainly because they pretty much got the technical advances to where they got the armours to, and they perfected the actual armour for doing the type of jousting that we actually enjoy doing.
Because wearing the armour is part, I imagine, of the sport itself, the weight of it and the balance on the horse.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a combination of skills. I mean, you've got to imagine you're enclosed in this suit of armour. These armours range between £15,000 to £30,000. They're very high end, so obviously made to measure.
So another working class sport.
Kind of not really. But people come up. You don't start there. I mean, Dame Jensen Button. They didn't start in Formula One. They started off go-karting, and they worked their way up, and jousting's a bit like that, really.
So you could do it like in a hobby horse in a Kevlar vest. That would be the beginning.
You start as a child on a hobby horse, indeed.
And are you from Warwickshire? You sound like you're from Warwickshire area. Where are you from?
I'm actually from Worcestershire.
Oh, so, Worcestershire. Not sort of Archer's country.
Indeed.
And is there a connection between the kind of the rural and obviously the equine skills are part of the kind of rural life? Because, again, the kind of the maintenance of horses and that horse relationship, which is a beautiful relationship, how important is that to the joust itself? Because it's not random horses you're riding.
At Arundel, the international tournament, we actually have 15 horses on site. And as part of the competition, each of the riders has to ride at least three different horses. So, and obviously each horse has different merits. So obviously the relationship, the guys and the ladies have to be able to...
I think you call them women. You call them women now, Stacey. I think we're allowed to do that. They've had the vote for nearly 100 years. Is it, again, the balance on a horse? Because women, given the different distribution of their weight around their bodies, and generally, kind of pound for pound, women tend to be better horse riders than men.
That's the interesting thing. If you look at all the Olympic horse events, men and women compete in the same categories. There is no men's division and women's division, and jousting is no different. You know, it is about probably 80% of it, I would say, is horsemanship, and the rest of it is obviously skill with the lance and actually wearing the armour.
How long is your lance, Stacey?
That's a very personal question. The lance itself is about 9 foot long.
Okay, and so talk me through a joust. So if I were there and you were in my ear as I'm jousting, what are the physical and the kind of the mental challenges for me?
Well, basically, jousting is a very physical sport, but it's also a very psychological sport. You're sitting there, you're on a horse, you're enclosed in your suit of armour, your visor's down, you're looking through a 5 mil eye slot.
Right, I need to stop you there already. Okay, I'm a man that wears a turban.
There you go.
How are we doing the visor and the hat? Again, it's anti-working class and anti-Sikh, this sport. We've established that. Okay, so you're sitting there, you've got your visor down, limited vision, limited mobility, sweating like a sweaty thing on a very sweaty day.
Indeed, yes.
What next?
You charge down the list towards your opponent, the combined combination of the two horses about 50 miles an hour. And then you strike your opponent in one of three locations. You strike to the targe, strike to the body, or strike to the arm or the head. And these are obviously crew points.
Right, just run through those for me one at a time. The targe being the target.
The targe is a three-point target. That's the shield that sits on the left shoulder.
It's also a very good Indian restaurant just outside Abingdon.
I'm sure it is.
See what I've done there, Stacey? I made a joke. So the targe, explain where the targe is.
Yeah, so the charge, they get 3 points charges, they get 2 points for a strike to the body, and they get 1 point for a strike to the arm. And they get 3 points for a strike to the head as well.
Now, the obvious question for me here is, I think of another one of the great classic battles is fencing. And if you look at, if you've got a left-handed fencer against a right-handed fencer, it's hugely to the advantage, I think, of the left-handed fencer because of the way the bodies open up. Can you have a southpaw jouster against a right-handed jouster?
No, there is only one way to do the jousting. That's you have to couch the lance in the right hand.
Ooh, couch the lance. I'm going to couch my lance at the weekend. No, nurse. I said, lances boil. And at 50 miles an hour, is there any advantage in moderating the speed of your horse, going a bit slower?
Actually, the faster you go, the better it is, really, because the horses flatten out. When you're galloping on a horse, if you're cantering or in-hand canter, the horse is a lot more elevated. And what you really want is
a
lower centre of gravity. Horses going flat out gallop, and that way you can you're not going up and down as much when you're going along.
I hear you. Now, 50 miles an hour, you're approaching. Can you just describe that moment when you hear the clatter of wood on steel and then talk about the jousting? I'm joking. What happens when that lance makes contact with your body armour?
Well, obviously, it's a huge impact. I mean, as you're charging down, you're looking at your opponent, you can see that, you know, you're concentrating on the end of your lance, and that literally, this all happens in like 8 seconds to 10 seconds, because that's how fast these runs are. So you drop your lance in, bang, smash, crash, but it's all over. I mean, the biggest part of it is keeping yourself focused, because jousting is a weird sport in that sense, because I'm going to hit him or her, but she or he is also going to hit me, and I can't defend that. The only thing defending me is my armour. So we do get injured. You know, I got knocked out a few times a couple of years ago, and you have to kind of retrain yourself to be able to stay focused and look at your opponent. The tilt rail at Arundel Castle is 40 metres long. So you can get full speed, flat out gallop going down there.
Now, your wife is also a jouster, isn't she?
No, my wife is actually the marshal.
Oh, is she?
The tournament this year. Yeah, the Marie Baron is one of the French.
Marie Baron.
Marie Baron. Yeah.
Have you ever jousted against Marie Baron?
Marie, no, I've never jousted against Marie before. She's actually just come back from a tournament in Poland, which she won. So she'll be coming to Arundel on a high and feeling pretty confident for a win for the French team, I'm sure.
Knocked out. Tell me about that.
Well, obviously, the armor is gives you a lot of protection from penetrating injuries, but there's a lot of concussive injuries that can happen as well. So when the lance hits you, you know, it breaks and everything else. But and then, you know, depending on where the lance goes, it can strike you in the head, strike you in different parts of your body. You'd be amazed where it ends up sometimes.
I mean, this is medieval. How is this?
Yeah, I mean,
it's quite brutal, isn't it? Is it a sport?
It is a sport. I mean, to us, it's a sport. I mean, the problem is jousting gets... There are a lot of show jousts where people hang off horses, the Black Knight, the Green Knight. This is not what we do at the International Jousting Tournament. And a lot of the other international jousting tournaments, you know, Arundel's one of the biggest and one of the longest running, but there are a lot of others around the world. And we go all around the world. I'm in California later on in the year to joust. I've just come back from the south of France, the tournament over there, which I won. And this is, to us, it's a sport. So we're absolutely, obviously, behind this petition. Because we want recognition for our sport.
How and, likely is this to happen, do you think?
They've just got golfing. I mean,
well, I mean, 2012 would have been the year to do it when, you know, the Olympics was in London. That would have been the year, wouldn't it? Where's 2020 going to be?
I think the problem with that is they started to push... These things are not going to happen overnight. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of red tape to go through. So I think with the backing of you know, the people that are behind English Heritage, Arundel Castle, and I think the Royal Armouries are also very much in support of promoting the jousting as a sport rather than just something you see at the local fete. I mean, the people who come into the Arundel tournament are coming from all around the world to compete at a very high level. They train hard. They're athletes in their own right, but they're not professionals. You know, some of them do professional horsemanship or whatever, but we have to pay out a lot of money. So it is
must
more
cost you a fortune to do this.
Yeah, I mean, I've just bought a new helmet and body armour protection, part of the cuirass, as it's called, and that was £14,000.
Where are you getting the money from?
Save, work hard.
But there again, if you're working to save that money, you have no time in your life, do you? If you're not working, you're jousting. If you're not jousting, you're working.
Yeah, we take our hobby and our sport very, very seriously, you know, and people turn up and they see the dedication and they see the... And there's also the risks. I mean, me and my wife used to be three-day eventers. And again, men and women compete, you know, alongside each other at what is a very physical, very dangerous sport. You know, a number of people die every year doing three-day eventing.
Whoa.
And jousting is risky as well, you know.
Oh, well, I look forward to seeing it at the Tokyo Olympics in 2020. Stacey Evans, the organiser of the Arundel Castle International Joust and Medieval Tournament. I've got a lovely image of him with a clay flagon of warm ale and a turkey leg he's chewing on. I hope he's rested that for the correct amount of time. If he's got any issues, if you've got any issues with that, Stacey, get in touch with them. Our own Victoria Bourne, who's now an expert on rested meat.
Talk Radio. Talk and entertainment across the nation.
Talk Radio.
Give it some lip.
Remember, every time you lie, you'll receive a mild electric shock. So, if you had £159, what could you spend it on?
Well, a Sitch and Blingo Enterprise van is only £159 a month.
Sir, I remind you, no lies.
It is, with aircon, DAB digital radio and Bluetooth until the end of July.
Are you okay?
Yeah. No.
Citroën.
TNC supply, advance rental required. Finance lease business users only on vehicles registered by 31st of July 2016. Subject to status, guarantees may be required. Over 18s only, PSA Finance UK trading as Citroën Contract Motoring excludes VAT at 20%.
Harry is a tradesman. He's happy that Screwfix has over 470 stores in the UK. Not because he wants to visit them all, but because it means that wherever he finds himself working, there's always one nearby. And if Harry can't get to Screwfix, Screwfix is happy to come to Harry. With next day delivery to his home or on site, 7 days a week, if he orders before 7pm weekdays, 4pm at weekends. Either way, Harry is happy. Those in the know Screwfix.
Life is full of deadlines. The deadline for that job application. The deadline for your tax return. And now, the Financial Conduct Authority is thinking about imposing a deadline for claiming missold PPI. So time could be running out for you to claim. Let PPI Claimback do most of the work for you. We can check whether you've had PPI. If you haven't, it won't cost you a penny. Text PPI to 80039. That's PPI to 80039.
Talk Radio Traffic and Travel. There's delays on the M5 through Worcestershire, where there's one lane closed. Emergency repairs after an accident this morning. That's between junction 8 for the M50 and 7 at Worcester. Northbound M6 in Staffordshire, a lorry's broken down, so a lane out between junction 12 at Gailey and 13 at Stafford. In Worley in Lancashire, the A59 remains closed in both directions because of an accident. And on the southbound A1 at Elksley in Nottinghamshire, there's a broken down vehicle, so traffic is slow, one lane closed. I'm Dave Stamford.
The Teflon Maiden of Mid-Morning Radio is here.
Mid-Mornings with me, Julia Hartley Brewer. Hard-hitting debate, strong opinions and essential listening.
Julia Hartley Brewer.
You turn if you want to.
The ladies not for turning off.
Julia Hartley Brewer.
Tomorrow morning from 10.
On Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Hardeep Singh Kohli
on Talk Radio.
What's that smell? Is that incense, Chloe?
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, girl, we could get much higher.
You like this, Chloe, don't you?
Come on, baby, light my
dancing fire. Away there. I can see you in a kind of maxi kaftan. Yeah, with like flowers in your hair. Drinking a nettle tea.
The time to hesitate is through. No time to wallow in the mire. Try now, we can only lose. And our love become a funeral pyre.
There's some things you can't say on the radio, and what you have to do is you have to mouth them silently to Chloe to make her laugh. And I just did that. And of course, on the other end of the glass, she doesn't know whether I've said it out loud or not. I wouldn't have said that out loud, mate. I wouldn't want to get into trouble suggesting you do it. It's like the people that go to the petrol station at night and get king-size Rizla and cigarettes. Well, if you've got Rizla, why are you buying cigarettes? I used to work in an overnight petrol station. I used to challenge them on it. They used to leave without paying. And chocolate. They always have revels. Now, I tell you what lights my fire, and not in a good way. Energy drinks. I don't understand why we need them. Although I had them. I had them for years. And a very interesting piece of research has just come out showing that the amount of energy drinks we consume has more than doubled, almost tripled, since 2006. And there is a move afoot to have energy drinks. Because I see kids drinking energy drinks. And I think, I'm 47. If anyone needs an energy drink, I need it in an intravenous drip. You're 14. You have no excuse not to have energy. You have plenty of excuses to be jumping up and down. In a good way. So, authoring this report, we had Kautha Hasham from the Queen Mary University of London, researcher Action on Sugar. Good afternoon, Kautha.
Good afternoon.
Now, what did you find? Because obviously the sugar issue around these energy drinks is one thing, but that's the tip of the iceberg, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. There's also a lot of caffeine in those drinks. It's equivalent of 2 cups of coffee in some of those products. And you wouldn't give a child 2 cups of coffee. So why do they have easy access to these types of products that generally tend to be like corner shops near schools? And we want to see some sort of restrictions on them. It could be that a ban might be a good option, but also schools could ban children from bringing them in, particularly if they're in secondary schools.
The problem is, if they're taking the drinks before they come, you know, but that's a little bit like, you know, shutting the stable door after the horse is bolted. They're already full of sugar and full of caffeine. You've lost already.
Well, I think there still needs to be some sort of restrictions. There have been good examples of around, you know, some schools kind of implementing those types of restrictions. But obviously, we're calling for them not to be sold to children in the first place. They are high in sugar, high in caffeine, and they're not particularly healthy.
But when you talk about a drink high in sugar, high in caffeine, cola is high in sugar and high in caffeine. Would you have that banned too?
Well, it's not as high in sugar and not as high in caffeine. If you, like, a can of cola drinks contains about 30 milligrams of caffeine. Now, a can of energy drinks contains up to 180 milligrams of caffeine. That's a huge amount.
This is mental. Sugary drinks. How is this allowed? How have we even got to the point where we're talking about having to ban it going to children? It should be nowhere near children or indeed adults for that matter. Should it really?
Well, you know, there might be some for athletics, that might be a good option, that they would need those types of products. But increasingly, they've become so popular and the demand has increased, the supply has also increased. And there's a lot of advertisement and trendy to drink energy drinks.
Have you ever smelled anyone's breath after they've had an energy drink?
No, I haven't.
I mean, I think energy drinks should be introduced as contraception because no one's going to want to kiss you. Your breath smells of just artificial... I mean, my biggest concern about these drinks has been the taurine in them, to be honest, more than the caffeine and the sugar. It's all the other stuff. Is that not an issue for you?
Well, yes, it is an issue, but I think at the moment the evidence is quite clearer when it comes to caffeine and children and development and also sugar and obesity and type 2 diabetes. So we have more of a stronger case to talk about those ingredients versus the other types of ingredients that actually we probably don't have enough tests, but also we can't really test, we can't put a group of children, it's not ethical to put a group of children and say, right, you're going to be drinking energy drinks for the next couple of years, and another group, you're not allowed to drink any energy drinks.
It'd be great fun to watch, though, wouldn't it, Cawthor?
Yeah, let's see what the effect is going to be on your health, you know, future health, your life expectancy. We can't do something like that.
Let me put this to you. British Soft Drinks Association, I'm sure you know their work intimately. Gavin Partington says, and I quote, energy drinks are safe and make up a very small part of the caffeine intake of adolescents and a negligible amount amongst children.
Well, I think from the research we've shown in the report that actually, no, children are consuming these products. Even if it's a small amount, which I would dispute, I don't think it's a small amount. I've seen children walk out of schools holding those types of products. And it's not like companies would clearly say that they're targeting those young children. But when we look at market reports, they do generally say that the core consumers are those between the age of 10 and 16.
Yeah.
So when they're describing it in such a way...
And stand-up comedians. The amount of sales to stand-up comedians is astonishing, is the other thing I need to tell you. Cawthor, can we just take a step back from this specific issue for a minute? For the last couple of minutes, I want to talk to you in a more general sense. Because, I mean, listen, I realise you are a nutritionist and researcher in your specialist area, but just thinking in a bigger picture for a minute, imagine we were going to decide which drugs we were going to legalise and not legalise. You know, tobacco would be banned. You'd probably be allowed to have marijuana so you didn't smoke it. Heroin and cocaine are probably less harmful for you than alcohol. How have we got to a situation with these energy drinks where we are selling stuff that is a more effective corrosive than it is a drink?
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I just think there was a company that combined these ingredients and they thought this is such a great idea for people that have busy lives and they can consume these types of products and, you know, can concentrate for a bit longer or whatever. And then eventually it's just been connected to sports activities.
It's such a nonsense.
As a result, it's just resulted in...
I mean, Cawthor, I don't know about you, but every kid I see drinking one of these energy drinks couldn't look less like an athlete. Quite the opposite. That's Cawthor Hashem, researcher and nutritionist at Action on Sugar at the Queen Mary University of London. I remember my nephew when Sunday Delight first came out. Do you know Sunday Delight, Chloe, was made by Procter & Gamble from all the stuff that they had left from all the other stuff they made. And he started having massive holes in his teeth. So his mum banned him from drinking it. And that wasn't the worst of it. There were kids turning yellow and orange from drink because of the colourants they put into these things. Do you know what? We're meant to be a civilised country. We're meant to think about what we put into our bodies in every sense. You know? Think about it. And while you think about that, think about the news and sport and weather and everything else that matters in the world. It's Victoria Bourne.
Talk Radio.
Police say they're considering terrorism as a motive after an attempted abduction of a serviceman in Norfolk. Two men approached him as he was jogging close to RAF Marham yesterday. Detective Superintendent Paul Durham says the victim managed to get away.
The attacker placed his hand on a victim's shoulder and then on his wrist and started to pull him with a degree of force towards the vehicle. Our victim effectively fought free from that attack and rendered the first assailant effectively knocked him on the floor.
One person is understood to be trapped in a vehicle which has gone into the River Clyde near Glasgow. Emergency services have started a rescue operation in Renfrew. Former president of the World Anti-Doping Agency, Dick Pound, says it's too bad clean Russian athletes could miss out on the Rio Olympics. The country's track and field team won't be in Brazil after an appeal against a ban was thrown out by a court earlier. Jeremy Corbyn has launched his campaign for the Labour leadership contest. He's appealing to his MPs to unite against inequality and the Tories, saying it's their job, duty and responsibility to do so. And health experts say everyone over the age of five should consider taking vitamin D in winter. Many of us aren't getting enough of it in our diets and our bodies can't always make sufficient amounts from sunlight. The weather: outbreaks of rain across Northern Ireland and Wales have spread to much of Scotland and Northern England overnight with some heavy downpours possible. Elsewhere, showers will die out this evening with lows of 14 degrees. Tomorrow, that rain will eventually clear to make way for some bright spells. There's more in half an hour.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Drive with Sam Delaney on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines.
Fuel your appetite for adrenalised afternoon radio on the Drive Time Show that's going all over the country.
Original afternoon entertainment with me, Sam Delaney.
It's the superior work-to-sofa transmission system with intelligent presenter technology fitted as standard. Delaney, live at Drive.
This afternoon from 4.
On Talk Radio, we'll get you talking. Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Hardeep Singh Kohli
on Talk Radio.
Chloe's doing a slightly patronising dance.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied.
Yeah, but that but this,
I want
a frame frame sauce with
the awesome thing.
Wish your five on the side.
Great song.
I don't want pork chops and bacon.
This is that the Nat King Cole version. There was a beautiful version, Ella Fitzgerald and the Ink Spots featuring Louis Armstrong. A little bit opener, a little bit jazzier. Awesome. Now, frim fram sauce is nonsense, but I wanted to tell you a quick story about the arrogance of brown people. 5 years ago, Chloe, me and my elder brother, who's a very senior policeman, it was a lovely hot day, went round for a barbecue, and we went to do shopping. Now, obviously, I'm the chef in the family, but it's quite difficult to kind of, like, I just didn't take over the shopping, so I let him do his little bit. And we went to the sauce section, and there's hot sauces. And we're Punjabis, right? Glaswegian Punjabis. We like a bit of spice. We pick out this bottle. It's a black bottle, right? And this was so long ago. It was before the rib man, Marc Gevaud, does the most amazing hot sauces, Christ on the Bike and all the rest of them. His are properly balanced, beautiful hot sauces. This was a black bottle, Chloe, with a skull and crossbones on it. And my brother and I picked up all the other, oh, white people think they know about hot sauce. Yeah, right. Let's have some of that. We took it home. We smeared two lamb steaks in it, cooked them. We couldn't talk for 4 hours. Many listeners would wish I'd had some of that before coming on air today. Certainly most of the newsroom feels that way. Anyway, so I just wanted to share that with you. Now, we're going to talk about seagulls. How do you feel about seagulls?
Chicken.
We're going to talk about chicken. How do you feel about chicken? If you heard somebody mention seagulls there, I think you might just have retuned to a wrong station for a second. I have done a little bit of work for a charity based on malaria. I had a form of dengue fever when I was a kid. which is meant to be can kill you. And again, many listeners were wishing, oh, why did he not have the fatal one? This fascinating new research that's come out that suggests raw chicken, which eat mosquitoes, has got something in it to keep them away. Anyway, we have an expert on the line to talk to us. Hello.
Hello.
I'm calling from Sweden.
Yeah.
Can you explain to me, because this sounds bizarre. I'm never that keen on raw chicken in the bedroom at the best of times. But explain to me how this works.
So what we found is that malaria mosquitoes that we're working on in Ethiopia do not like the smell of chickens. And we show that if you sleep with a chicken or if you take odors that's being emitted by the chicken and put it next to you, you can actually protect yourself being bitten.
That is bizarre. So sleep with a chicken. I think Norfolk listeners will understand what that means. So, is it raw chicken or a live chicken?
So this was a live chicken. Don't think it will go very well with a dead chicken, but it needs to be the feathers and everything with it. And it needs to be an active chicken giving off the odors.
Because this problem with malaria seems to be becoming more and more prevalent insofar as there's a degree of the mosquitoes becoming immune to the sprays and the coils and all the rest of it that one lights.
Yeah, so the bed nets that people have been using in Africa, though, so they're being distributed freely in many countries in sub-Saharan Africa, along with the indoor residual spraying, has been very efficient in knocking down the population of malaria mosquitoes. But it's been targeting the species that really keen on being indoors, and it's not focusing on the species that we've been working on, which has a tendency of being both indoors and outdoors when they feeding. And also the mosquitoes, the malaria mosquitoes, have started to grow a resistance to the insecticides being used on the bed nets and the spraying. So we're slowly seeing an increase in malaria again, so there is a need to come up with new ways of controlling the mosquitoes.
I mean, I know that the Wimbledon champion, Scottish tennis player, some people might think he's British, Andy Murray's been very much behind this. I'm always fascinated and concerned that, you know, Professor Ignor, you're in Sweden with not much of a mosquito problem, I imagine.
We do actually have the highest population of mosquitoes is actually found in Sweden.
So is that right?
Yeah. So if you go up to middle of Sweden and keep on going, you'll meet your mosquitoes, and that could be a real nuisance.
But am I right in thinking that the kind of malarial type diseases are more tropical?
Yeah, they are nowadays. So back in the probably 30s and 30s, we definitely had malaria in Sweden. I would assume that in Britain you would also have had mosquito malaria up until the 20s, 30s. So it's not that recent ago that we actually lost malaria in this part of the world. But, of course, the most severely affected countries nowadays are the ones in sub-Saharan Africa.
So tell me this, because when I was a kid, went on holiday to India, Malaysia and places like that, I could lie in the same bed as my brother. I would be bitten to shreds and he would be untouched. Is there something about individuals that attract mosquitoes?
Yeah, well, certainly there are individual differences in the amount of odors, specific odors that are given off by people that are not bitten. And that was shown by researchers in the UK a couple of years ago, where they could put out on these odors on people and make mosquitoes be very aversive towards these people.
Well, Professor Ignor from the head of the Department of Plant Protection Biology, thank you very much indeed for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Across the UK, online and on DAB. Access all radios.
Talk Radio. Give it some lip.
The next departure from Platform 4 is the Delight 746 Sweatbox Service, calling at all stations, even the ones no one ever uses. We would like to apologise for the late arrival of this. this train, which was due to asteroid bombardment and the wrong kind of cosmic dust on the tracks.
Wouldn't it be great to have something you can rely on in the morning? Listen to Paul Ross with Metro and get an essential daily fix of news, sport, showbiz and entertaining opinion. The Paul Ross Full Set Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 6 on Talk Radio with Metro. Grab your free copy every weekday morning.
TradePoint, we've got a great range of top trade paint brands, including Valspar Trade, Leyland and Dulux Trade. Plus, loads more stocked in volume, in store, at low trade prices. Check out our biggest paint shop at your local TradePoint counter today. Trade brands, trade prices, trade only. TradePoint!
And gently pull away. Very good, Miss Riley. Now, continue at this speed, and when I tap my clipboard on the dashboard, I want you to brake immediately in a controlled manner. Excellent. Lovely bit of braking.
The new Goodyear Eagle F1 Asymmetric 3 will help you stop shorter on both dry and wet roads. Visit goodyear.co.uk to find your local dealer. Goodyear, made to feel good.
Now, Miss Riley, let's see a three-point turn.
Talk Radio, traffic and travel.
There's delays on the M5 through Worcestershire, where there's one lane closed. Emergency repairs after an accident this morning. That's between junction 8 for the M50 and 7 at Worcester. Northbound M6 in Staffordshire, a lorry's broken down, so a lane out between junction 12 at Gailey and 13 at Stafford. In Worley in Lancashire, the A59 remains closed in both directions because of an accident. And on the southbound A1 at Elksley in Nottinghamshire, there's a broken down vehicle, so traffic is slow, one lane closed. I'm Dave Stamford.
Did your husband accidentally transfer the contents of your joint account to a Nigerian prince called Trust Me Good Man? Perhaps you bought diet pills on the internet that made you frightened to cough. Or maybe your exotic mail order bride turned out to be a Ukrainian pig farmer called Igor.
When the con is on, you need a man who's on it. Listen to the Radio Hustle with scam-busting supremo Alexis Conran and get the inside track on all the latest swindles, schemes, tricks and traps the fraudsters are using to get their hands on your cash.
Get tipped off, not ripped off. The Radio Hustle with Alexis Conran, enemy of the con man.
Saturday afternoon from 1 on Talk Radio. Talk Radio, the 21st century dream team of dialogue, debate and discourse.
Hardy Singh Kohli
on Talk Radio.
Probably one of the finest songs I've ever seen live. Flaming Lips, Hammersmith Apollo with Ross Pelling. When they play this, massive balls. Do you know she's a black belt in karate, Chloe?
She's a black belt in karate.
Hi, hi!
Great song. Flaming Lips. Genius. Working for obviously, Flaming Lips alludes to the story I told some moments ago about me and my brother. And the hot thoth. And the hot thoth. Talking about disciplining bodies. I lived in Edinburgh for a couple of years, Chloe. Have you ever been to Edinburgh? You've never been to Edinburgh. Have you ever been to me? That's that song. I've never been to paradise, but I've been to me. Don't worry about it. Edinburgh is on the port of Leith. Leith's the town next to Edinburgh. And seagulls come flying in. And I was sitting in a glass-fronted restaurant one day. And it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. There was like 8 or 9 people all separately sitting in the front of this restaurant at lunchtime. And on Northbridge, in the old town, a seagull came flying at what felt like 50 miles an hour towards the glass, seeing our food, because you could see the food quite visibly because it was glass-fronted, didn't stop for the window, clattered into the window, cracked the window. There was blood and guts, bits of beak, feathers everywhere. And, of course, when it clattered, everyone ducked in the restaurant, because I know it wasn't duck, it was a seagull, but we all ducked down just because that's a natural response. As if that wasn't bizarre enough, another seagull then came and started eating the bits of the seagull. It was like a Simon Pegg film. But that's considerably less worrying than a current phenomenon that's taking place with seagulls. And I've got the RSPB's Tony Whitehead on the phone, all the way from beautiful Exeter and Devon. How are you, Tony?
I'm very good, thank you. Very good indeed.
Do you know, with this current weather, I can't think of anywhere. Apart from the west coast of Scotland, Devon is where I'd want to be.
It's a fine county. Surf's up, the sun is shining. Everybody should be down here.
The only county in England with two distinct coastlines.
Absolutely.
Do you
know what I
mean? Next week's
county.
Pub quiz. Next
come
week's
down.
Pub quiz. Well, my cousin lives in Totnes, you see.
Fabulous.
Now, what is going on with these seagulls? Because this is quite... I mean, again, you'd think it was April the 1st with this story. Talk me through it.
You would. It's a story, actually, almost a couple of years ago when we had a report from Plymouth of gulls being run over by the side of the road in a particular spot. And what it found, what the people looking at it found out, the gulls were eating ants, which gulls do. They were just, you know, they were just footling around the ground, picking ants off the ground, and then obviously not paying attention and getting run over. But the story then became that the ants are full of formic acid. When the gulls eat the ants, it somehow makes them mad. It sends them drunk. And so this became the story. And it was checked with the Royal Society of Biology, who, like all good scientists, said, possibly, probably, there's no evidence, we don't know, possibly. And the story just carried on from there. Then it went away, and it's come back again this year. But I don't know whether ants can make gulls drunk or not. I really don't know. But I do know that gulls do love to eat them.
Right, so I'm just imagining, in the increased weather, there's more ants around.
Yeah, it's been a massive... So what you have at this time of year, you have these massive ant emergencies, which are emergencies, not emergencies. They all come out of the ground, the males.
And I quite like the idea of an ant emergency.
Yeah, an ant emergency. The ants all emerge at the same time. That's right. So you get all these male ants coming up, flying up into the air, and then the gulls fly around and eat them, either in the air or on the ground. And that's what's happened over the last few days.
And I'm not even joking when I say this, right? As a Glaswegian that lived in Edinburgh, if you ask me what do seagulls eat, I'd say chips.
They do like a chip. Down here, they love a pasty as well.
Of course they do. The Cornish pasty, of course, being from your neighbouring county.
Indeed.
And being very good. Do you know the crimped edge? You know this. That was for holding the pasty. We're never known to eat that bit.
It was because they were tin miners and they went down the mines. And they didn't want to get the hands, the meat dirty with all the stuff from what they'd been mining.
One side was savoury and one side was sweet.
Yeah, that's right. It was all there in a pastry filling, in a pastry cover.
So, have we any research on how many ants that you'd have to eat to get a bit high?
Well, firstly, I'm not sure about eating them to get high bit. I'm not sure that's actual science there. But what we do know is, I mean, these gulls, they probably think these are like little M&Ms. They're just picking them off the ground. And it just fills up the little tummies, or big tummies in the case of some of these gulls. And that's what they're doing. So they're just having little snacks, really. I'm not so sure about the actual them getting drunk bit. But I don't want to let the truth come in the way of a good story.
No, but I mean, if one can be serious for a moment here, I mean, seagulls are, for many people, a necessary evil. We need seagulls in terms of our, you know, the job they do at sea and all the rest of it. But they're increasingly impinging on human life.
Well, they share our... They like the sorts of things that we do. And, you know, it's interesting that gulls never used to nest in cities. And they were probably attracted here for two reasons. The first one was loads of food kicking around in cities. Lots of waste food. People litter the streets with it. But also, probably more important than that, with all the redevelopment of cities and flat roofs, people putting flat roofs and often putting shingle on them as well.
Right.
They're creating beaches in the air, and these beaches are quite safe places away from predators like rats and things. And so the gulls actually love to nest in cities because they've got safe nesting space. And then, you know, they've got on tap pasties and chips all around them. And so it's just des res for, you know, a bunch of gulls.
Can you explain to me how seagulls fit within the kind of the food chain?
Top.
Right, so they eat everything.
They kind of, there was a lovely description, they eat anything of the right texture and size.
Right, they are the Glaswegians of the bird world.
I couldn't possibly comment on that.
I could. I'm from there. It's fine. So long as it's deep fried. Are you finding that, because obviously you're not having so many rodents out by sea, although maybe in docks and stuff. Are we seeing what seagulls are eating is changing?
So, I mean, they're classic scavengers. They will eat, like I say, absolutely anything they can get their beaks on. And so that's what they're doing when they're in the towns. It's interesting. We've done tracking of these birds, and they don't just feed in towns. You know, if it's on a Thursday, they might feed down the local high street. If it's on a Friday, they might fly out to sea. They might go inland. So they're quite Catholic in their choice of places to feed. So they don't just feed in towns.
Yeah, but not Catholic enough to feel guilty about it.
But no, they're not. You know, gulls never ever feel guilty.
Well, because I don't know if you heard the story I was telling about a gull hitting a restaurant window at some speed, yeah. and being decimated, and then the bizarre end of that story was another seagull came along and started eating the seagull.
Yeah, well, you know, that's gulls, but they're very confident creatures.
They are. They're like Rob the intern, who might now be called Seagull. He's very confident. If seagulls, now he's giving me the thumbs up, thinking I'm praising him, or actually I'm trying to bring him down a peg or two. He's one of those, like, he's got that kind of air of the atoll. He's now making a heart shape at me through there. Well, just generally speaking, I am more and more, I think we're all becoming more and more concerned, having had the hottest June on record. How is our bird life struggling? I mean, are you feeling, I mean, I think, you know, apart from our current Prime Minister, everyone else seems to know there's climate change going on. How is it affecting our bird life?
Well, it's interesting. So warm patches like this aren't too bad, as long as they don't go on for too long where you get drought. Drought's never good. Never good for anything, is it? But it's
apart
it's
from a biblical story.
It's apart from a biblical story there. It plays quite an important role. But generally, it's not very good. It's not very good for birds as well. But, you know, you get a warm patch like this, and it means that some of the birds, what really affects birds at this time is wet, cold weather. So probably right now the birds are okay, but if you get this going on for a long period of time, it can cause problems, because obviously water becomes a scarce commodity and the birds need it just like we do.
And in terms of our urbanification, I mean, kind of megalopolises like London with 13 million, you know, Birmingham with 1.5 million, Leeds with 1.3 million, are we seeing kind of our urban bird life vary and change?
I mean, it's really interesting. Urban areas can sometimes be absolutely amazing for wildlife. I used to work in Birmingham. It's a really green city, and it was remarkable some of the birds you could see right in the city centre there. And often, you know, and it's naturally because people provide gardens, and the gardens can be, if they're not decked them over, and they can be really rich as well. So, you know, the urban places can be real oases for birds.
Absolutely fascinating. Tony, you know, you have brought to life the subject of legally high seagulls on ants. Will you give my great, great love to Exeter?
I will. I'll do that right now.
That's the RSPB's Tony Whitehead. He was fantastic. I'm a little bit thrown by that. I'm a little bit thrown by seagulls eating ants. I'm wondering, do you know what I'm thinking, Chloe? Right? Having had that conversation with Whitehead, Mr. Whitehead, is whether the ants aren't properly dead. They're still alive inside the seagull's stomach. And that's what's causing them to go a little bit Pete Tong, a little bit Judge Jules, a little bit Steve Lamack. I don't know what the rhyming slang for Steve Lamack is, but it just seems right to have that in a trio. Now I think it's time to play our final bit of barbecue-inspired music. Chloe? Just sway out. No way can anyone sway the way Chloe sways. Wagwan rudimenting. Ainai Babylonia. I've got no idea what I'm saying. I heard a kid say on the bus. Little bit of rice and peas.
This morning I woke up in a curfew.
Sorry, what song's this?
Burning and Looting.
No, mate, not Burning and Looting. Sam, she's picked Burning and Looting. When I said Burn It Up by Bob Marley is what I wanted.
Oh, yeah. It's like, we come on. White cap.
Burning and Looting. Was it? Is this a barbecue in France?
It's actually Cornelius Frog.
Nothing is Cornelius's fault. Look at that face. When eventually he's got the hormones to grow a moustache, he's going to be a handsome young man. What was that? What was that? Is that Two Fingers? He sent me. Do you know why Two Fingers is rude, Cornelius? Because it's what the English, when the English during the 1066 period.
Battle of Hastings.
Hastings, 1066. When they got the French archers, they cut these two fingers off so they can do archery anymore. Sam Delaney, he's the sort of man that knows these things.
Yeah, good historical fact, that.
That's a lovely chambray shirt you're wearing.
Oh, thanks very much.
You have genuinely, it's been a panoply, a cornucopia, a cavalcade of shirts this week.
Yeah, it's been a big shirty week for me. You've got to wear shirts, I think, in this hot weather, because then you've got the option, buttons up, buttons down, depending on heat.
Do you know, Sam, on the face of it, you're just an entertaining, funny man. But actually, when you dig a little bit deeper,
you see, look at the shirts, you know, you find out about the shirt situation, the thought I put into it.
The fact that you've accessorised your shirt with your beautiful blue eyes.
Oh, yeah.
What shoes you got on today? Okay, not so good. I can't give you unexpurgated praise. I need to call you back. You got shorts on?
Shorts on, yeah.
Okay, I love an Englishman rocking a pair of shorts. Yeah. There's something most unique about that.
Yeah, it's strange. It is strange, but sometimes you got to do it.
I imagine you might be talking a little bit about Allardyce.
Oh, yeah, we will be later in the show. In fact, we'll be joined by my boyhood hero, Tony Cotty.
You a hammer?
I'm a big hammer, yeah. And when I was a kid, Tony Cotty was my absolute hero. I used to have him posters on my wall and stuck to my exercise. But then over the years, doing a lot of sports stuff, I've kind of met Tony and worked with him a few times. And it's always a bit awkward. I don't know about you when you've ever met heroes, whether you kind of say, listen, you better know this right from the start. Bit weird, but I had loads of pictures of you stuck on my bedroom wall and the rest of it, or whether you just play it cool and act like a professional.
No, I can't do that. I've
so
got
you
to
tell them people. Outright, yeah.
Well, I just think for the joy they've brought, particularly sports people, because they're not necessarily they get the jibes much more than a lot of other people do. They get a lot of abuse.
Yeah, you're right, actually. So you need to balance that with a lot of praise where it's due.
Yeah, well, and even if they're not a Jew, you need to praise them. No, I remember
not many Jewish footballers,
well,
actually,
enough,
point of fact.
Avi Cohen played for Rangers.
Yeah.
And Maccabi.
George Cohen as well.
But I tell you, bizarrely, one of the highlights of my life was meeting Stephanie Moore.
Oh, yeah, she's lovely, isn't she?
Because she does a lot of work with the Bobby Moore Foundation around bowel cancer and stuff.
Yeah.
And we were meeting to go to the FA Cup final. Mm. God, I've got goosebumps just remembering this. And we arranged to meet on Bobby Moore Way.
Oh,
I
wow.
hadn't even thought about it. I sent her a text, said, I'll meet you there. And I stood there waiting for her, going, I'm meeting Steph here.
Yeah.
How proud must she be? Because there are few English footballers that Scottish people like as much as Bobby Moore.
Yeah. He's popular in Scotland, even.
Well, he's one of those players that transcend. I think Gareth Bale's achieved it with his youth. Transcended club and country.
Yeah.
You know, which is something Ronaldo will never do.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true.
What else you got coming up, mate?
We'll be talking about the Russian doping, because they've banned 68 athletes now who were guilty of doping. But I tell you what, the Russians, I haven't got the quotes right here in front of me, but I will have when the show starts. But they've reacted with great hostility. They're claiming it's a political decision.
Do you know what? If they're going to start crying, then cry me a river.
Yeah.
Cry me
quite right. Oh, yeah, good one. Cry me a river. I like that.
Sam, can I just say, the highlight of my show is having you in here and handing over.
Thank you. It's the highlight of my... this isn't technically my show. It's the highlight of my day.
I feel it's our show.
Yeah. This little bit is our show, and they should make trailers for it.
Do you know what?
They should promote it more heavily.
In the words of Lisa Loeb, stay. Because you will miss him. The gorgeous Sam Delaney. Massive hammer. See, I like him now. He's a hammer. I like him even more. He's a hammer. That's all from me today. This has been Talk Radio. I've been Horrocks and Gully. Thank you very much. I'll be back relatively soon. Fringe permitting. I'll be in Edinburgh, so if you're there, swing by. We'll do some mixtape love action. Thank you to producer Cass and the team. All been magnificent this week. I love you in more ways than you can ever know.
Talk Radio. Digital debate for the UK.
Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.